If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Three, two, one, burp.
I promise I'll reboard when there are no further acknowledgments. Thank you.
Kevin, God damn it.
It's a chronic condition of the bowel, and its symptoms are severe abdominal pain, alternating bowel problems, either chronic constipation or diarrhea or back and forth alternating. And sometimes the pain is so severe that, you know, it's hard to go out, go to social events. Sometimes you just want to lay in a ball in your bed and feel like you want
to
die.
I used to think flatulence was something to laugh about. Truth is, 300 million Americans a day expel gas through their anus. To learn more about flatulence, you can visit my ass.
And now...
You know what I have to say to that? Oh, I thought I was going to fart.
Our feature presentation.
And now, a moment with Bean.
You mentioned Bobby Brown earlier. His old friend, Michael Bivins, from New Edition and Bev Biv DeVoe.
What was the name of that band?
Bev Biv and DeVoe?
Bell Biv DeVoe,
sorry.
Jeez, even I know that.
That was a moment with Bean.
Yeah. That's the way to start the show.
We love him.
Bev Biv Bo.
Whatever they're called.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Tuesday, the 14th of...
August. I don't know. I think that girl shows me up.
I think Lisa's faking it, to tell you the truth.
I kind of was. You didn't give me enough time. I need a little prep.
She did show you up, but we're willing to give you another chance.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
well, I need a few minutes to, you know,
to work it up.
Yeah, that's how girls are. We don't just turn it on and off. Yeah.
Why don't we say this? Why don't we say
takes forever?
24 hours from right now, let's have Lisa do it live.
That's about how long I need.
Wait a minute. Why does she need 24 hours to moan?
I'm just saying.
Dear God.
I'm just saying that way she'll know ahead of time it's coming. She can take as much time as she needs to prepare for it. Even if it's only 2 minutes ahead of time, she'll at least get ready. And then tomorrow you'll do the handoff directly to her live.
The handoff.
That's what she
said.
Yeah.
All right, I'm in.
All right. 24 hours from right now.
Excellent. I'll start warming up. Rape me.
Give her enough heads up.
That also sounds nasty. Go ahead.
What's going on, everybody?
I heard Mike talking off air a little bit about Madden 08, which came out this morning. I was wondering if Dave already has his copy and has already started playing it.
Yeah, that's why he's not here.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Not at all.
But he's the kind of guy who does that.
But here's the question. Did Dave pay for it?
Oh, no. He downloaded it off the internet somewhere, of course.
And he's had it for a month, most likely.
Mike, did it end up being Vince Young? That was the big rumor yesterday. Is he the cover boy?
I don't know. I don't know. I haven't seen the game yet, even a picture of it. I was just
this is the curse, right? This is the whoever's on the cover of Madden football gets hurt, right?
Misses part of the season. Yeah,
it sounds very weird and superstitious, but I mean, it's getting pretty out of control with what
a lot of guys,
these guys that are on the cover of Madden.
Well, it is, but you also, I mean, people don't take into account these are players that are in, you know, positions that you can get an injury easily.
Right.
And they're playing a sport where you can get injured easily.
Yeah, they're the elite players who are also the ones who are gunned for the most every game, too. I understand that. But what's funny, and this is what I heard, and we may have to confirm this later as the news starts to catch up with it, but I heard that, as always, they shot a number of different players. They don't reveal who the player is going to be until the game's released, right? They shot a number of different players for the cover, and then apparently John Madden accidentally told somebody on a radio show who was going to be on it. Like, it was supposed to be a big secret. They were supposed to wait for the big unveil the ceremony, and he somehow accidentally told somebody about it.
What a surprise.
Brilliant.
He let it slip or something. Well, yeah, you know, it's a bit Vince Young, you know, or whatever it is.
Can I hear your Madden again, please?
I'm not doing a Madden. Oh, I'm just saying. Yeah, which is just hilarious because he's just such a goofball. It's so him that he would do that.
He's Larry King plus about 120 pounds. Like that.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
Same
just clueless.
Sound, same like delivery, same kind of like state of mind.
Two people that have stayed in their jobs long past when they should have retired.
Absolutely.
And they're just getting crazy. According to the Dave News Network, it is Vince Young.
It is. Okay. Yeah. So he's going down. All right.
He's already suspended. I mean, he's suspended as we speak. So
What's he suspended for?
He got suspended by
fighting
the team.
Dogs. Didn't you hear? Man, you don't pay any attention.
Oh,
He's serving an in-house suspension for breaking team rules, unspecified team. But it's coming out that he just he wasn't at camp, didn't sleep at camp when he was supposed to. He slept at
home. Hey, was it Reggie Bush last year? Because if that were, I thought it was Reggie Bush last year. Because if that were the case, the curse is broken because he had a phenomenal year last year. Wasn't he the guy on the cover last year?
Sure, don't know. Sure don't have that information.
I have to look that up.
I mean, and you're right. If it was him, then that certainly...
Yeah, because he was one of the superstar players of the, you know, the. I mean, he's one of the few guys who has, you know, come out of college and lived up to every inch of his potential.
Yeah,
so we'll have to look that up and see. Our sports guy will cover it later. I'm sure it'll be... We'll have it for you every hour.
Our sports guy goes... He just keeps going on and on and on. And we have to actually pull him back. Stop, dude. You can't keep talking about Madden 08.
This is not a sports show.
I don't have time for that. We don't do a sports talk. That's not what we do here.
Right.
And he or she is like, yeah, but this is important.
Right.
Whoever that person is. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
All right.
We have a K-Rock listener who apparently mortgaged his house to start a business. And the business is a product called Size of a Man.
Yay!
And this is a way of measuring penis size.
Can you imagine going to the bank to get a loan? That
yeah,
for your business
at some
loan.
Point, at some point, you do have to reveal to somebody what the money's for, and you just have to look at that face looking at back at you, trying to figure out how you're going to get the cash.
Show me how it works.
The loan officer would be like, "Yeah, I'm not sure how that works. You're going to have to demonstrate right here in the middle of the bank." So apparently, yeah, it'll put to rest all of the questions about penis length. It's on it. It says that it's going to settle all the arguments.
You know, I have found that arguing with a man about the length of his penis is never really helpful
what's
in a relationship.
And most guys aren't serious about it anyway, so
yeah.
What's the point? I mean, I don't understand what arguments are being had, but this guy mortgaged his house on this one.
Wow.
He felt this one in his gut.
The timing couldn't be any better for this interview. Did you guys see Weeds last night?
No, I taped it.
Last night, the two guys, the former and current husband of Elizabeth Perkins' character,
mm-hmm.
got into a penis argument about who was bigger because they both banged her.
Right.
If they'd had the final say, they could have settled it.
Wait, but can't she be the final say in that
situation? She wasn't in the room. And then they got into the classic argument because one of them believed he had the advantage in length. The other one believed he had the advantage in width. And then there was an argument about whether width even counts into the decision as to who's bigger.
We talked about that off the air yesterday when we were looking at this device.
Lisa prefers
I think width is very important. So does Alex.
And well, so
length without width?
So my nickname of Thicky? Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Standing up right now. Didn't realize that.
Very important.
Not standing up. I didn't mean it's standing up. never mind.
I guess everybody does love Dick.
That's right. Yay. Also on the show today, we have to talk about the Hills. And
who do you hate more? That's my question. That's what I want to know today. The Hills do you hate the most?
Yeah, I caught up on some old episodes yesterday.
Mike Rowe is going to be here. He's the host of Dirty Jobs on Discovery.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like a bad show to me to do. It's fine to watch, but it seems like a bad show to do because, you know, they're bad jobs by design,
Any of the shows lately that we've talked about good to do?
I was
the
just
one where
the
you eat a snake?
Survivor Man, yeah, no.
Yeah, no.
The weapon. One where you get into the water and let a shark bite you?
Human weapon, that's bad.
Yeah, they're all bad, but we enjoy
them. I guess
that's
the key to making it on cable is just being willing to do something that no one else wants to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to join that game. You know what I mean?
But we're happy to talk to them.
There's a reason most people don't want to do these jobs, and I'm in that group. I don't want to say, okay, I'll do the ones no one wants to do. That's just a bad idea.
I'm the guy who's going to go into the house and remove the 100,000 bees. Yep, that's me. I'm that guy. That's what Mike Rowe does.
Oh, God.
Also on today's show, we have Drew Carey.
Yeah.
He's got this new show, Power of 10, and I guess it's only been on one time.
Big hit.
Gave away $1 million.
Wow. Are they going to continue?
Nope, that's it. Just that one time.
Yeah. They're out.
No, I think they are. It's on Wednesdays, I believe, on CBS. But he also got injured on the Price is Right set, which cracks us up. Because Bob Barker did that show for 500 years.
Yeah.
I don't think he ever got injured.
Yeah, but I think the host before Bob Barker died in a Plinko accident.
Is that right? Wow.
Yeah, I think
realize
so.
So it does happen.
All the models got injured while Bob Barker was working.
By the way, the Plinko accident is opening up the L.A. invasion.
No, they're good.
Invasion. Yeah. Also on the show today, we have a little video that you might be interested by the name of Trapped in the Closet. R. Kelly did 12 chapters before, and we took a look at all of them because they are, well, I'll be honest, we were giving them as Christmas gifts. It's so spectacularly bad.
Yes.
I mean, it passes bad, and then it comes back around to being good again, and then keeps going somehow. I mean, it's, you can't even believe it's not somebody making fun of, that somebody really means it.
He's dead serious.
Oh,
that's
so
the
good.
Best part.
I think when he goes to court next month, they ought to send him to jail for Trapped in the Closet. Forget about the girl.
Are you
just
kidding?
Send him to jail for this.
They
I do.
Should drop the charges based on this.
Well, that'll be for a jury to decide.
We need the art that he's giving us more than the laws need to be upheld. That's what I'm saying. Also on the show today, we have we've got to talk about Dick Cheney. Got to talk about Karl Rove leaving the White House.
Yeah.
President Bush on his own now.
Woohoo! I guess it's pretty typical that, you know, when you get to the final year and a half of the administration, people start thinking about their next jobs. I mean, his work is essentially done. The president's not going to be running for anything. So, you know, Karl Rove says, I'm out.
I want to try and talk Dick Cheney into running. I mean, I really think that would be awesome. Just run for president. Just do it.
He's not going to be alive another 4 years.
He wouldn't. Awesome in that he wouldn't get a single vote.
That's true.
Best debates ever.
Best debates ever, right? But no votes. I mean, even the Republican base, he's just the devil.
And that's why he won't die either, Bean. You say he'll be dead in 4 years.
He'll never die.
He'll never die. Yeah,
no.
Exactly.
He'll be alive for 500 years.
He would be the first person in the history of presidential debates to answer a question with so.
So.
He would be that. That would be him. That's
that would
true.
Be awesome. Can you elaborate? No.
No.
Also on today's show, I don't know if you saw the Federlezy song, the latest one, MILF Does a Body Good, but it's online and getting some great comments.
Mm-hmm.
Some very funny comments from people who believe it's real, among other things.
TMZ.com put it up after we debuted it on our show. Ashton Kutcher recorded it for us, and we debuted it on our show. And then people all over the world, of course, read that website, have no idea who we are or where we're coming from, and just are just teeing off on Kevin Federline. It's hilarious.
And everybody finds this stuff online, and you send it to a friend. You say, you got to watch this. But this one, I think, might be the one of the best ever, and it's the hand farter guy. We talked to him late in the show, and if you missed it, this is him. Playing Bohemian Rhapsody with his two hands.
He's got skills.
Know how, I mean, listen, that's what I got.
Yeah,
it's not as good.
That's it. It sounds like a piston engine or something. So anyway, we're going to talk to him in the 6 o'clock hour this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a quick break and we'll come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat.
First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for Tuesday morning at 5:52. Ralph, what the hell is going on?
Another crappy week for Britney Spears. Couldn't make me happier. Did not make me happier.
She's putting one right after the other, isn't she?
Yeah. To see the video on TMZ.com yesterday of her assistant, Ali Sims, being served with a subpoena from Kevin Federline's lawyers?
No.
Yeah. This is all regarding the custody battle, of course. But it's great because she is as much of an idiot and a bimbo as Britney Spears.
Sure.
This guy's like, here you go, you've been served.
I didn't touch it.
Yeah, you did touch it. Yeah, you're served.
No, I didn't touch it. I didn't touch it.
It's in your car. You have it. You've been served.
No, no, I didn't touch it. I didn't touch it.
The guy just walks away. He sounds like an idiot. Even better story comes out of the National Enquirer, where apparently Britney and her mom, the bad lady, Lynn Spears, ran into each other on Robertson Boulevard while shopping the other day. Apparently outside Kitson, Lynn Spears lit into her daughter, talking about her behavior, what she's doing to the family, being a horrible role model for young girls. And that she hoped that Britney would get her act together. Britney, always being the very classy lady, responded, "Lady, mind your own effing business."
Wow.
She couldn't even call her mom?
No, apparently not.
Lady. Britney Spears. What about her?
She's lady now.
fantasy.
Ralph, have you noticed on TMZ.com every single day there's a photo of last night Britney going through a different drive-thru to get different greasy food?
Yes. I've noticed there's a lot
that's
of that.
That's the only place she eats is drive-thru fast food restaurants.
Yeah, look at her. Just look
yeah.
at her.
Yeah.
Look at her.
Oh, no. She's a whore.
Things aren't going much better for Kevin Federline. Apparently his acting career is going about as well as his rap career. He was supposed to have a part in the upcoming Keanu Reeves movie called The Night Watchman.
Yeah, I remember
Can you
that.
Imagine Kevin Federline and Keanu Reeves together in the same studio?
Make Keanu look good.
Woo! However, the role never came through.
What a surprise.
And his manager never bothered to tell him.
What?
So Kevin's sitting there, waiting for the phone to ring, waiting for his wardrobe call, waiting, waiting. Yeah.
His manager probably just thought it was understood that he wasn't going to get the gig.
So Kevin figures, well, I'm just going to go down to the wardrobe call.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Shows up. And they awesome. Go, oh, Mr. Federline, you're not on our cast list.
So embarrassing.
That's awesome.
Whoa. Here's the thing. My main man crush, Hugh Laurie, is in that film.
Ah,
oh.
Yes.
Oh, really?
So it's probably a good thing for everyone that Kevin Federline didn't get a chance to work with Hugh Laurie before I did.
Yeah,
because
no kidding.
There would just be hell to pay.
Yeah. Ralph, a number of years ago, Kevin and I were hired to host a TV show. Do I have the story right, Kevin? It was the one that was filming in Hawaii.
Oh, yeah.
And it got to be like, a week out or something like that. And we hadn't heard any of the details about travel arrangements and stuff like that. So we called up the channel and we said, Kevin and Bean here, what's up? And they said, well, the people you're calling for aren't here. They're already in Hawaii working on the show.
they hired
somebody else and moved on, and no one ever told
insanity?
Us. I don't remember which
yes.
one it was.
With Alan Hunter?
I think it was.
What? Is that what it was? Yeah.
I don't
but,
know. I think so.
So I sympathize a little bit with Mr. Federline waiting by the phone.
Well, if it was other hosts, then it wasn't that, because they did host that.
No, we hosted, like, the pilot or whatever, and then they replaced
the
us
other
for
show.
Real.
Oh, I see.
I don't know which one it was. Yeah. Doesn't matter, but it was funny that we had our vacations planned and everything. They didn't tell us anything. They made the right decision. Don't
replaced.
Get me wrong. That,
oh, I've seen
that's
Total
what they should have done.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They made the right decision.
Yeah.
Jessica Simpson is a family, comes from a family of givers. She was just doing an interview with Self magazine. How appropriate for Jessica Simpson, by the way, to be in a magazine called Self. Talking about all the charity work she's done over the years.
Oh.
She said she started doing charity work when she was just 16 years old. She would spend some time at the Casa Hogar Elam Orphanage in Texas. And apparently she would spend every summer there on a goodwill mission working with the orphans. And she said when she was 16, she was there at the orphanage and there had been a baby who had been abandoned in a dumpster.
Yeah.
And they found it and brought it to the orphanage. And Jessica begged her dad to let her have him for her birthday.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's about right.
For her birthday?
At 16. This isn't an 8-year-old who says, Daddy, can I have the baby for my birthday? It's a 16-year-old girl begging for the baby for her birthday like it's a pony. What the hell?
What is wrong with her?
I just thought that was so funny.
And she considers
please,
that.
I promise I'll feed it and I'll walk it and I'll clean up after it. Please, can I have it? Please, please, please.
And she considers that charity?
Yeah.
Okay.
Boobs.
All listen, right. Not all child stars are morons. Interesting list from In Touch magazine about child stars that grew up. All right. We talk about the Lindsay Lohans and the Britney Spears and all the mm-hmm. other F-ups out there. But
sure.
There's a lot of kid stars who came out all right. Now, I'm surprised on this list that Ron Howard, who I think is the ultimate,
right?
The
ultimate,
yeah, that's the first one
list.
I thought
These
of.
These are much more current celebrities.
Okay.
I have a guess.
Just thinking about it the other day. I don't remember asking for guesses. I don't recall asking for a guess at all.
I thought we were having a conversation. Sorry.
We are having a conversation, but I didn't say anyone like a guess?
Yes. Bean has one.
Oh, okay. Yes, Bean?
I was just thinking, even though she had that ugly Good Charlotte phase, Hillary Duff turned out all right.
Hillary Duff, number two on the list. Number two. Oh.
Nicely done.
Tell him what he's won, Drew Carey. Any other guesses, since we're guessing?
Well, Jodie Foster, but she's kind of in the older school.
She is in the older school, Lisa, and therefore not on this list.
Okay.
How about Justin Timberlake or Christina Aguilera as Mickey Mouse clubbers who ended up all right?
Neither. Neither wow. made the list.
Dude. Well, I don't get that list then, because those are... Justin Timberlake is a perfect example of a kid star who worked out. I don't know what they mean then.
Yeah, but he's,
Shia LaBeouf.
But he's a dick.
Shia LaBeouf,
Lisa, number seven on the list.
How about the kid from Third Rock from the Sun that's now
a good
actor? What's his name?
Not on the list, because no one can remember what his name is.
Yeah, good old what's his name?
Jason Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
There you go.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, just tell
us. Okay, go ahead.
Hayden Panettiere, number 10 on the list. I guess she's grown up okay at 17.
They yeah, figure she's all incomplete. Right.
Let's reserve judgment in a couple years.
What the hell? The jury still may be out, but I think they're probably right. But, sure. You know, it's a little early to say. Mario Lopez, number 9 on the list.
Well, if you don't count his marriage.
Yeah, but he's not
I don't think you do.
Yeah, look, hey, if broken marriages were a gauge for right. bad behavior, you two would be locked up. Oh, I lied. Christina Aguilera is on the list. She's number 8.
Oh, okay.
There you go. Shia LaBeouf, as I mentioned, number 7. Alyssa Milano.
Sure.
Number 6 on the list. Joaquin Phoenix. Joaquin.
Oh, yeah. Was he a child star?
Yes, he was. All the Phoenixes were child stars. And he's apparently turned out pretty damn good.
Yes.
Fergie, number 4. Fergie. Once again, Fergie.
Fergie.
Number 4. Ryan Gosling, number 3.
Oh, yeah, another Mickey Mouser.
Hilary Duff, as we mentioned, number 2. And the number 1 example they claim in In Touch magazine this week is the best example of a child star gone well. Sarah Jessica Parker.
Oh.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Okay.
She was a child actress?
Yeah, she was Annie on Broadway.
Oh, okay.
When she was like 11 or something, and then she went to do Square Pegs and Footloose, and she did a lot of stuff.
At what point did she start looking like a shoe?
About 14. It's more like a foot than a shoe, actually.
Oh, foot.
Yeah, I think the quote is just like a foot. When she puts on a hat, then she looks like a shoe.
Okay.
And here's an interesting story.
Thing? Item?
I was going to say affair, but it's not really an affair. I don't know if it's an affair or not, so I don't want to cast that.
Okay.
An alleged affair. Sir Paul McCartney may have a new girlfriend. Let's put it that way.
All limbs?
All.
Ow. Ow.
Sir Paul McCartney may have a new girlfriend.
Okay.
Photos were taken from the New York Daily News showing him hanging out, canoodling, as they say, with a woman in East Hampton, New York, where they both have homes. Christie Brinkley.
What's she looking like these days?
Pretty still damn
she
good.
Looks good.
Pretty damn good.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's quite an upgrade for Sir Paul, if that's the case.
Yeah, no kidding.
I don't know if him and Billy Joel will be hanging out anymore, but just saying. Interesting news. Let's take a look at celebrity birthdays, shall we? Steve Martin. He is 62 years old today. For his birthday, he's working on Pink Panther 2. Be yes. good to yourself, Steve. Antonio Fargas. Huggy Bear from Starsky and Hutch. Remember Huggy?
Of course.
Starsky Hutch. Best pimp on 70s television. Most of the time. 61 years old today. Carl Lumley. Who, of course, was Marcus Dixon on Alias. Remember him on that show?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was so good on that show.
He was good.
He was also good as Mantis. I like him as Mantis.
Not familiar with that.
Mantis. He put on a bug suit and become Mantis.
He's a praying mantis? That's what he was?
He was like a superhero based on a mantis.
Well, that's dumb.
He was crippled, and then he put on the mantis suit and he could walk.
What?
That's a good power to have, I think. He's 56 years old today. Susan Olsen, who played little Cindy Brady in the Brady Bunch, is 46. Halle Berry turns 41 years old today. Catherine Bell. Bell's in her name. You got to give her a Bell.
Yeah.
She's from JAG. She's 39 years old today. Mila Kunis from That 70s Show. And, of course, plays Meg on Family Guy. She celebrates her 24th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Tickets go on sale this Saturday. And, Ralph sounds
what? Disturbed.
Whatever. Whatever with this K-Rock's LA Invention concert.
No, I hear you.
Come on.
You can get all the details at KRock.com. Yes, Ralph.
You're spinning your wheels, wasting time, and the biggest event of the year is happening right now.
Yeah, that's correct.
And you're talking about freaking concerts. All right, well, let's go see Foo Fighters. Yesterday on IFC.com, the Independent Film Channel's website, they released early, before you can get it on DVD, before you'll see it on the TV, they released the latest chapter in R. Kelly's epic Trapped in the Closet.
Oh, yay! This is so good. This is so good.
It's better than you could possibly imagine.
Really?
He has lost nothing. He has lost not a step in his form in what is truly the greatest long-form African-American soap opera in musical history.
And the only one. I hate to ask, Ralph, because 12 chapters have passed, and it's kind of like walking into the middle of the last Lord of the Rings movie and asking what happened so far. But could you bring us up to speed with who the players are, even?
Well, this first chapter, this newest chapter, rather, deals with Sylvester and Twan. And you may remember that Sylvester was married to Gwen, of course, was having an affair with Kathy. Now, Kathy and Gwen were high school classmates.
Right.
Now, Sylvester's brother-in-law is Twan. She is brother to Gwen, his wife. And Sylvester is also neighbor to Nosy Rosie, who sticks her nose in everybody's business.
Right.
All right. That's what you really need to know at this point.
Who was the guy in the closet originally?
Originally, the guy in the closet was James, who was having an affair with Gwendolyn.
Okay.
Okay. Now, if you remember, at the end of the first 12 chapters, we were left with the cryptic message from R. Kelly not to forget about Roxanne and Tina. Roxanne is a friend of Gwendolyn's, and we are still yet to determine the relationship Tina has with the rest of the gang.
Okay. Okay.
So we're not quite sure yet. Now, remember that Chuck and Rufus also had an affair.
Oh, that's right. That's the cop, right?
Rufus is the cop married to Kathy who had the affair with Sylvester.
In this story, everyone has sex with everyone else, and they all have guns.
Right. And you have to remember that James, who had an affair with Gwen, was married to Bridget, who had the affair with Big Man the Midget.
Okay. Now, who pooped his or herself?
That was Big Man the Midget.
Big Man
the
Midget.
That was Big Man. Okay.
Because he was threatened by James, who was wielding a gun, and he crapped himself.
That's right.
All right. I think I'm up to speed. I got it.
So when we rejoin the epic, as I mentioned, it is Sylvester and Tuan in a car. They are going off to do something. We're not quite sure what's established yet. But as always, R. Kelly leaves. Well, he starts right out of the gate with the important stuff. He moves the story along immediately. He deals with things that matter in these characters' lives, and he gives us the benefit of having something important happen right at the outset of the chapter.
Sylvester and Tuan gets in the car. Sylvester says, man, first of all, straighten your hat.
Straighten your hat. That's what we're getting right out of the gate. Straighten your hat.
Didn't see that coming.
Let me guess. Is he rhyming with cat?
It's just the details. It's about a five-minute segment, and it's just endless, pointless details over and over and over again. You learn nothing in this.
People who are not familiar with the story will not believe this is real.
I know.
It's so real.
It is so real.
That's what makes it so great.
We took the tape, by the way, down to the lab, and we had some of our lab technicians, the scientists down there, translate the tape into white for us.
Okay.
So you may hear words you're not quite familiar with, but I've taken advantage of our staff and been able to translate it for you, including here is Sly and Tuan. Like I said, they're on some sort of mission. They got to accomplish something. You may hear a word in here you're not familiar with, but I will translate it for you.
Now, man, I'm about to go holler at somebody, and I'm gonna need you to watch my back. And Tuan says, man, you ain't even got to worry about me. Bro-law, I'm straight.
Bro-law in Bro-law. Negro is brother-in-law.
Oh, sure.
Bro-law. Bro-law.
Sure, that makes sense.
Bro-law. Okay. You don't have to worry about me. Bro-law, I'm straight. Now, is he really straight? No, because remember, Tuan was coming out of jail, and he was going to visit his sister Gwendolyn when he walked in the room at the wrong time and caught a bullet in the shoulder.
He got shot, that's right.
And we thought he was dead.
Yeah.
And then he got up because he went to the bathroom, and he was fine.
That's right.
Remember? After he just got into the bathroom, then he healed up pretty good after that. So Sylvester doesn't let him forget about that record and reminds him that he isn't far from straight, Bro-law. You're far from straight. You did a stretch in the pen, and, you know, we have to think about that. You've got a record. And, that was the wrong thing to bring up. Tuan blames it on someone else.
Tuan says, oh, here we go. You bringing that shit up. That wasn't shit but a misdemeanor. Sylvester says, misdemeanor, my ass, you did 3 years. Says, that was because of Roxanne and that bitch Tina.
Aha! Well, Tina and Roxanne have been reintroduced to the story. Not sure exactly how they got him into jail, but I'm sure we'll find out. Now, Tina, that rings a bell because you remember at the end of episode 12 where we left off, Gwendolyn, Sylvester's wife, was grilling him about Roxanne and Tina. Wanted to know what they knew about them.
Right.
And that rings a bell for our man, Sylvester.
Man, your sister asked me about a Tina. Tuan say when I see her, I'm a killer. What did Gwen ask you? She asked me if I knew her. I said she sound familiar.
Oh, what? What? What did she ask you? She asked me if she sounded familiar. Yes.
Yes.
Details.
Oh,
details.
This is good.
Well, Tuan pulls out some rolling papers.
Okay.
Starts to get to work, which is completely unacceptable for our boy Sylvester.
Sylvester says, hold up, man, what you doing? And then Tuan says, man, what you mean? And then Sylvester says, man, is that a cigarette? Tuan says, man, no, that's some weed. Sylvester pulled over saying, oh, hell no. What the you forget where we are? Tuan say, one for the road. Sylvester say, you crazier than a fish with teeth. If you think I'm gonna let you smoke that shit up in my car.
You're as crazy as a fish with boobies. He uses that age-old phrase, you're as crazy as a fish with boobies, if you think I'm going to let you roll that in my car.
Is that a cigarette?
No. I know that you are a gifted impersonator, but you sound exactly like R. Kelly when you dummy up these lyrics in the other room.
I really wish I could come up with stuff this genius.
Wow.
And he doesn't want to get busted, so he doesn't want him. He's as crazy as a fish with boobies if you think you're going to let him roll up in his car.
Sure.
Well, then there's only one choice. He's got to get Twan to throw it out.
Of course.
Of the window. Let's spend 4 or 5 minutes having that discussion, shall we?
Now throw that shit out. Twan looks at Sylvester like he ain't trying to hit it. Sylvester says, throw that shit out. Twan looks around and says, shit, and throws it out.
All right, we got that taken care of. It took him longer to say that they threw it out the window than it would take someone to throw it out the window.
He can't just say he threw it out.
No.
He has to, all right.
Finally, though, mid-story, we get the bottom of the, we get behind what's going on with Roxanne and team. We finally, he gives us that much right away.
They pull off and Sylvester says, now this Roxanne and Tina, man, what's that all about? Now why they talk about that, let's head on over to Rosie, the nosy neighbor's house.
No, while they're actually giving some information, let's change scenes and go over to Rosie, the nosy neighbor's house. While they're saying something we actually need to know.
Here's what I love. They're not saying anything. It's just him.
Yeah, he's got
They talk about that, yeah, let's go over here.
So they go to Rosie, the nosy neighbor's house, and we are introduced to a new character, Rosie's husband, Randolph. And you really have to see the video to appreciate it, because Randolph, as most of the characters, are played by R. Kelly. It's R. Kelly in just a white, like, clown wig with some cotton balls glued to his face, so he looks like he's old, and he wears a fat suit.
Really?
As Randolph, Rosie's husband. Now, Rosie, as you know, is nosy.
Of course.
And she's always looking out the window at other people.
She's the one with the spatula?
Yes, she was going to defend herself with a spatula against a gun last time we checked in with Rosie. And Randolph, as we find out, we've never met her husband before, but he's had an ass full of this kind of behavior. He wants her to stop being so nosy.
She says, now, Randolph, I don't like that tone you taking with me. He says, oh, shut up, woman. You always invoking. Get them folk they privacy.
What?
We sent that down to the lab, and we had it translated. Okay. The lines there are always in folk bidna, get them de folk de privacy.
Oh. Did Anthony Kiedis write this?
You are always in other people's business. Why don't you give those people their privacy?
I see.
Is what Randolph is trying to get across to Rosie. Unfortunately, Randolph speaks like Uncle Remus from Song of the South. I don't know what era he's transported from here to modern times in a time machine. Uncle Remus. But he should be singing Zippity Doodah with an animated bluebird on his shoulder. This character is a bit of a throwback, even for R. Kelly. Well, Rosie and Randolph get into it then, and Rosie starts to fight back against her husband.
Rosie says, I can look out my goddamn window whenever I want. Randolph say, yeah, well, what you looking at? What you looking at?
Did he forget?
Dramatic pause there. What are you looking at? And Rosie, now this is just unfair. She really hits below the belt.
Randolph said, shut your ass up, woman. Folk gotta get some sleep around here. Then Rosie said, sleep. Mr. Kane, get it up. Your tired ass been asleep for the last 5 years.
Hey, whoa. No need to drag the fight down to that level, is it?
How are you going
to
come at Randolph like
Why
that?
Why are you coming at old Uncle Remus that he can't get any wood anymore?
Mr. Kane, get it up.
That's
come on.
Not right. Well, things go from bad to worse, and it just all hell breaks loose.
Watch your mouth, woman. Go to hell, Randolph. You don't tell me what to do. Nobody I'm a grown-ass woman. I could do whatever the hell I want to do.
We'll do it then.
I'ma do it then.
Do it then.
I'ma do it then. I'm gonna look.
So, no.
Yeah.
Why are you making this up, Ralph? By the way, Lightning put the recap video and chapter 13. There's a link on the video page. Yeah. KRock.com, Kevin and Bean page. You have to see it to believe it. All right.
So she says, I'm going to look. He says, fine, look. I don't care.
And then she says, I'm going to look. And he says, fine,
do
look.
It then. Do it then. I'll do it.
Think I won't?
See, R. Kelly takes most conversations that those of us would ignore as just mundane, and he sets them to a beat. And that's what really sets them apart.
But only those, which is the important thing.
Then Randolph, in a moment of frustration, wishes for his wife the worst thing you can wish to someone who spends a lot of time looking out of a window. And if you don't catch it here, I will explain to you.
I hope a pigeon fly by here and on your face. Oh, Lord, forgive me for what I just said. This woman got if it do, then I'm going to wipe the shit on you.
I hope a pigeon flies by and S's in your face.
No, Ralph, no.
If it does, she responds, I'm going to take that S and wipe it on you.
Oh, my God.
This isn't true.
He gives her the age-old curse of the nosy person. I hope a pigeon S's in your face.
Wow.
Can you back that up? Can we hear that one more time? Because I think it's also important to hear that as Randolph is crossing the room after he has insulted his wife, he lets loose with an enormous fart.
What?
Please listen closely.
I hope a pigeon fly by here and on your face. Oh, Lord, forgive me for what I said. This woman got if it do, then I'm going to wipe the shit on you.
Yeah, I think you heard it there just before the rejoinder.
Oh, dear God. So still don't think he should be sent to jail for this, Kevin?
No, this is brilliant.
So let's join Sylvester and Twan back in the car, shall we, as we find out the real reason why Sylvester has brought along his brother-in-law as backup for this particular situation.
They're driving alone when Twan says, so, man, where we going? Sylvester says, man, don't worry about that. Just be on the lookout. And Twan, your hat or my bag?
Yeah, it's a hat again. It's back to the hat.
What?
He said, Twan, your hat. He's reminding him to straighten his hat again. As he brought us full circle to the beginning of the segment.
I see.
So we still don't really know what's going on. It turns out that there is a woman, or bitch in the parlance, who owes Sylvester some money.
Right.
And so he brings Twan along as backup because things might get dicey.
To be the muscle?
I guess. All right. He has Twan sit in the car, and he goes off to meet this woman. And he says, I'll be back in a few minutes. But a few minutes turns into much, much longer.
Time goes by. It's 30 minutes later. Time goes by. 45 minutes later. Time goes by. And now 1 hour later.
I don't know if he's talking about the mission or how long I've been listening to this song. That's the end of chapter 13, where we don't know. We don't know what's happened with our boy Sylvester. We just know he's been gone a lot longer than we expected him to, and there's reason for concern.
You're saying time went by.
Well, 30 minutes later, 45 minutes later, an hour later.
We met Uncle Remus, though, and that made the whole episode worth it.
Zippity-doo-dah. Always in the folk bidna, get them de folk de privacy.
That's true.
In the words of Randolph.
That's hard to argue.
I'll have you know, it's an abundance. It's an embarrassment of riches. But IFC Today has, in fact, posted chapter 14.
Whoa! Oh, that's fantastic.
Can't wait.
So,
see you tomorrow, Ralph.
Apparently, we are releasing a chapter a week leading up to its release on DVD, which is next Tuesday, which is a week from today.
Oh,
so we'll have recaps for Trapped in Closet all week long.
Is this worse than any of the first 12 chapters, or do I just forget how bad?
You're forgetting how bad the first. You owe yourself a refresher course in the first 12, because this is, it's like, you know, this is like Die Hard 4 versus Die Hard 1. It's
sure.
Just right in there, right in the same wheelhouse.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Thank you.
Hey, I went out to my mailbox on Friday, right after the show ended, and what's the best thing in the whole wide world that could ever arrive in the mail? Like, what's the thing, when you go to check your mail every day, what's the most exciting thing that could ever come?
A check.
The pictures of naked Charlie Theron.
Okay. Those are both outstanding guesses.
Okay.
But here's what arrived in my mailbox on Friday morning.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
As I hold up, ladies and gentlemen, as I hold up a letter that says, you have been randomly selected to serve as a juror in King County Superior Court by order of the court you are summoned to appear at. Ladies and gentlemen, me, Bean, for the first time in his ever-loving life,
finally,
has received a jury summons.
I never thought this would happen.
Has anyone on planet Earth ever been happier to get a jury summons?
No.
Nope.
For folks who have not heard us talk about this before, and we have talked about it a lot over the years, I've lived in 6 states. I pay taxes. I own property. I vote. I have a driver's license. I do everything I can possibly imagine that would make me eligible for the jury rolls, and have never, ever in my entire life received a jury summons.
Got a jury summons.
When I got it, I was trembling. I instant messaged Alex first thing, and I said, oh, my God, I was so nervous opening it. And she wrote back, and she said, you're retarded. There wasn't a camera on you. It's not a reality show. But I just, for some reason, I felt like I was going to screw it up, like I was going to break the seal or something and screw it up. But I actually got a jury summons.
Well,
me.
I'm so happy for
you. Wow. And you're not going to even try and duck it?
And by the way, $10 a day, pretty sweet. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, hey, it's up from $5, huh?
Do you call in or do you actually show up for a day? How does it work?
Well, they've given me a date and they say I have to show up. But the problem is, and I don't know that we're going to have time to deal with it here. We may have to deal with it later. The problem
You're
is that
on
it's,
vacation.
I'm on vacation.
No.
What are the chances that I finally get a jury summons and it's September 19th, ladies and gentlemen, Talk Like a Pirate Day, when I'm supposed to be in Italy with my wife, which I guess that's just going to have to wait for another year, I guess.
No,
you're not
going to
make her wait
postpone.
For going to Italy so
well,
you can be on jury duty.
What I'm saying is, what have I looked forward to longer in my life? Jury duty or going to freaking Italy? I don't care about Italy. I care about getting down there with the people and sending a minority to jail. That's what I care about.
But what's going to happen is you're going to go in there. They're going to realize immediately that you're a nut job, and they're going to dismiss you.
That'll be the biggest burn. He'll never get on a jury.
You know that's going to happen.
I'm going to do everything I can to make sure I'm the world's greatest juror. I'm going to get a haircut. I'm going to wear a suit. I'm going to be polite. I'm going to whatever question they ask me to try to find out if I should be tossed from the jury. I'm going to figure out whatever the right answer is to make sure I stay on the jury.
You don't think
this could? How great is this?
He'll never get on a jury. I bet he won't even go into the room where they select jurors.
I think
he won't
either.
Even be called in. He'll just sit in a room for a day reading a book.
I was carrying it around with me on Friday because I wanted to show everybody, and I ran into my friend Pat, and I said, dude, I got a jury summons. And he said, yeah, I throw about two of those away a year. Because as Kevin has pointed out so often on this show, they can't prove that you got it. They don't send it registered mail. Right. How do they know whether some kid stole your mail?
Well, hypothetically, I never do that.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't do that.
Except for all the time. So you anyway. Got a jury summons. How about that?
Like Lisa, I never thought this day would come. I really didn't. I mean, it's just, you know, I've moaned about it for so long. If I go out to my mailbox today and there's a jetpack waiting for me, I'm going to know that someone's looking out for me. You know what I mean? But we don't have time today, but I think maybe tomorrow we may have to call Donna and explain to her that I can't go to Italy with her because...
Oh, no, that'll go well. That'll go well.
Sure,
but she'll understand, right? Because it's for a reasonable cause. I mean, yeah. It's not like I'm bailing for something lame.
You can postpone it very easily.
What if they don't accept my postponement? I mean, what if somehow I don't get another opportunity? What if I'm not there? What if I snooze, I lose? That's what I'm saying.
Dude, it's jury duty. You don't snooze or lose. They track you down eventually.
I don't want to postpone it. I don't want to miss the one opportunity that I might have to get on a jury. I've been wanting to do this my entire life. I mean, think about it.
It'd be like you saying,
well, I got tickets to the Super Bowl, but I won't go because maybe I'll go next year. You know what I mean? You don't know what next year brings, dude. You may not be alive next year. You got to take this opportunity and run with it.
Let me explain to you what's going to happen. You're going to go into a room with 200 people or so, and then they're going to start calling people's names.
Right.
And, you know, 20 will leave, and then 30 will leave, and then 10 will leave, and then 20 will leave. And you'll still be sitting there all day, same room. And then it'll get to be lunch, they'll break, you'll come back, and they'll say you're dismissed.
How dare you?
That's how dare you.
That's what happened to me last time.
Yeah, but you're you.
Yeah, and you're you.
Congratulations. Jury service is one of the fundamental rights, privileges, and duties of participation in a democratic society. I can't wait.
I don't know how I'm going to do it yet because I'm just finding out this information.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to make it my duty in life to ruin that for you.
No, please don't say that.
I'm going to call people. I'm going to send faxes. I'm going to figure out a way to get you. Can you get disbarred from a jury? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Act like he's a felon and they just didn't know and he never registered or something.
Yes.
They're not allowed to be on juries.
Yes.
I am going to tell you.
I'm going to ruin it.
It is no longer the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, ladies and gentlemen. It is the Kevin and Seattle Juror 10230815. That's who it is today. All right? That's my new name.
See, this is how Bean decides what he likes and doesn't like. If everybody else hates it, right. Then he decides he loves it. That's how he does
it. Untrue. Since I was 18 years old, I've wanted this letter to arrive.
And we've all hated it since we were 18
right.
years old.
That's
well,
the point.
You're just wrong then, I guess. So.
Yeah, I guess
anyway,
we are.
So that's the big news. Ooh, they throw in a bus ticket, too. You get an actual bus ticket to get you to the courthouse.
How is that exciting?
That.
You have a car.
I got a bus ticket and 10 bucks a day. This is the best news ever.
Douchebag. Should we tell him now that we dummied it?
You couldn't tell me this.
Let him live the dream? All right.
Very brave to pretend this isn't the most exciting day of your life, Kevin. I haven't seen you this excited since Cindy Crawford stopped by.
This is the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen. And every once in a while, something comes along the internet and you go, wow, I didn't know that was even possible. This guy, you know how you put your hands together and try to make a farting sound?
Make a hand fart. Sure. Yeah, of course.
This guy does Queen. With two hands.
Well, he does it all. I mean, he does Guns N' Roses, Beatles, AC/DC. Kevin, you're talking about Jerry Phillips, the world's greatest hand farter. In fact, he's the first manualist we've ever had on the Kevin and Bean Show. And let's welcome Jerry on right now. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning. How you doing?
What does it mean, manualist? What does that mean?
Basically, it's a guy who uses his hands.
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay.
Now, what do you do for a living, Jerry? You don't make a living with your hands, do you?
I have a gun shop, and that's where the name gynecologist on YouTube came along.
Ah.
Oh, a gynecologist. I get it.
Gotcha.
Now, I understand that you have been performing music this way since you were 9 years old.
I've been, 38 years I've been playing my hands now.
Wow.
You must be the most popular party guest in America.
Tell you what, until this YouTube came along, I now have 2,250,000 people watching.
Now, wow. Which brings me to my next point. What made you think of putting this on YouTube? Did you do it or did somebody else?
Well, no, not really. I mean, I didn't. I have tried to be on TV for years, but they seem to have overlooked me.
How could they not put you on TV? That's the best act ever.
I got to tell you, it's going to happen now just because of you.
Yes,
and I'd like to take a second to thank you guys, because as of Friday, an hour after I talked to Jay, your man there, mm-hmm. I'm going to be on Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, yeah. And rightfully so. I want to play a little bit more of the Queen song of you doing it with your hands. Wait, let me fast forward it to a better part. Here you go.
And by the way,
hang
folks.
On, hang on. My favorite part. How do you do that? Octaves apart. Jerry, how do you do that?
Oh, I mean, you put your hands together, and it's really just pretty simple.
Most people can barely make a noise.
Well, you know, what most people don't realize is if I said I started at 9 years old, that a 9-year-old figured this stuff out.
I guess.
Yeah, that's a good point. And by the way, I want people to understand, you actually see Jerry performing Bohemian Rhapsody and some of these other songs at YouTube. It's not like this is edited together in a studio and they used it, you know, they pitched it up. I mean, he's doing it live as you hear it on the video, and it's remarkable. What about...
Go to krock.com, by the way, the Kevin and Me page. There's a link there.
Jerry, what about all of these talent shows that are so popular on television right now? You know, when an Elvis impersonator is on America's Got Talent or something, you got to look at that dude and go, man, there's a million Elvis impersonators. There's only one guy that can do what I do. You should be on those kind of shows.
You know, I look at that Pierce guy and I want to puke.
Of course.
Yeah.
Anything other than him, I probably would do it. But I've seen, like last year, an 11-year-old girl won, where the clothes changers were the greatest things I ever saw in my entire life, and they got knocked off. So that made me think, where am I going to go with this? You know what I mean?
You're going right to the top, my friend.
You
well,
certainly are.
Sitting with you guys, because I'm telling you what, I have been promised the world until Friday, where you guys actually did something, and I'm making you an offer. If you have anything you want me to come out to California to do, I will never
September
charge you.
September 15th, we have a concert at Home Depot.
Let me finish here. I got a Geico commercial. The next Geico commercial is going to be me playing the entertainer, and Wednesday I'm going to Salt Lake City to do another commercial, so this hasn't even hit the U.S. yet.
You've got hands of gold, my friend.
He certainly
here's
do.
The, here's the Super Mario Brothers video game theme.
Oh, my God.
Come on. Is there anything better than this guy playing his hands?
That's
well,
impressive.
No. There just isn't. Hey, Jerry, have you ever attempted to play this with your butt? Have you ever done any of that kind of fart songs?
Have I ever done what?
Any fart songs with your butt? Or are you strictly a hands man?
Oh, really? You know, clearing your throat is the problem.
Yeah, sure. I guess I can see that. I don't want to go into that anymore. Do you take requests, Jerry?
Sure.
Can you do the Godfather theme, please?
Okay.
Wow.
Nice. Nice.
That is amazing.
With his hands, yeah. I'm telling you. All right, well, listen, you can go to KRock.com. You can see the video we're talking about. Bohemian Rhapsody is just one of many that are offered. And when will we see you on with our friend Jimmy Kimmel?
August 31st.
August 31st. Fantastic.
August 31st, right around the corner.
That's great. Couple of weeks. Hey, when you're here, we want you to come in.
I will come.
All right. Fantastic. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you very much.
All right. Bye now.
Good luck to you, sir.
Come on. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 3 minutes till 7 o'clock.
What? Kevin and Jur 10230-8715 is what you meant to say.
I'm joining Kevin's cause. I will not.
Right?
I will not stop until this is somehow squelched. Until this is put an end to.
Bean's not the kind of guy that'll drive us crazy with it, though.
No,
I am so going to send a man to death. I just can't wait. It's Carrick FM, Pasadena, Los Angeles. Funny man Drew Carey. After the top of the hour, Ralph with the Showbiz Beat right now. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, boys and girls. Well, allegations that Colin Farrell is the father of yet another illegitimate child, according to Us Weekly magazine. The tabloid says that he is quite smitten with his 22-year-old girlfriend, Murianne McDonnell. Though his representatives say, oh, no, she's not pregnant, which means she's probably having twins.
Sure.
That's what I'm guessing. Interesting news about the on-again, off-again O.J. Simpson book. Remember If I Did It?
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then rights to that book were given to Ron Goldman's family as part of the settlement that he still owns the Goldmans. It looks like they are. First, they said they weren't going to release it. Now they said they were, then they weren't. Now they apparently are again. Going to release it just as it appeared, as it was written by OJ or OJ's ghostwriter. And they are just going to add some key commentary to the book, they said, as it goes on sale. Just going to write lies, lies, lies in the margins before you read it. So mm-hmm. Looks like they're going to make some money after all from that.
What do you think the market is for a book like that, Ralph? I can't imagine it selling more than a couple of thousand copies.
Me neither. Who would possibly want to read it?
I can't imagine who would want to read that.
But if you knew the money was going to the Goldmans,
well,
can I just send them a check? Do I have to read the book?
You can send them a check.
I'd rather just fill a fishbowl outside a fire station like they do for the muscular dystrophy telethon.
All right. But we've all seen what OJ has to say in interviews. We know what his side of the story is. Who wants to hear that again?
I read part of the book, by the way.
Did you really?
Have it at home.
There's the answer to my question.
There you go. Kevin, champion of the chuckleheads.
It can't be a surprise to anybody, but he's an a-hole. And
what?
Well, shocking. But you would think that OJ would say, I need an image kind of rehab. Mm-hmm. I need to kind of...
Based on what would you think that?
How everyone thinks. I mean, what your idea would be if you were in that situation.
But how much more evidence do you need of the way he's behaved the last 10 years and the things that he said?
I don't need evidence that he's guilty. I'm saying...
No, that's not what I'm saying. Evidence that he doesn't care about a rehab.
Yeah,
he's
done nothing to try to make his
image
improve.
Evidence that he doesn't think people think badly of him.
Right.
He has convinced himself everyone loves him.
He has no intention of rehabbing his image.
He can't have.
Right.
That's
been proven over and over again. Yeah. And even if he did have an intention, how could you possibly do it? The best team in the world couldn't possibly change most Americans' opinions about him, I think, in the long run. Maybe that's why he's just throwing his hands up, because he knows it's really a hopeless cause. But if this
love
book
to
was,
see how many they sell.
If this book was a well-researched, well-written book about the murders themselves, I really wouldn't be interested in reading it.
Yeah.
Let alone some sort of half-assed hatchet job by a lunatic.
Right. You know, I love lunatics.
I know you do.
All right.
Yes. Kate Hudson has a new boyfriend, if you believe the New York Post. Dax Shepard.
Oh, probably I could see that. Kate
and Dax are hanging out.
Who's Dax?
Dax Shepard was a longtime sidekick for Ashton Kutcher on Punk'd.
Oh, okay.
And then he's had a couple movies afterwards. He was in Zathura and a couple other movies. So apparently they're in love. A lot of friends and family aren't really happy with the relationship. Word is that they're moving in together. The only person who seems to be thrilled is her ex-husband, Chris Robinson. Because now he says he gets the couple's former... No, the former couple's son, not their former son, still their son. The former couple's son whenever he wants, because she's so eager to ditch the kid off so she can spend time with her new boyfriend.
Aww.
That works out well for everybody.
Wow.
By the way, their son's name is Ryder. That kid's got no hope. No hope whatsoever. Wow. Somebody named Ryder, you know what happens.
Yeah. Loser.
Joe Mantegna's got a new job. He's taking over from Andy Patinkin on Criminal Minds. Apparently he's going to be the big deal over there.
Okay.
Anyone watch that show?
Nope. Mm-mm.
No.
All right.
I've seen it a couple times. It's not bad.
See Van Halen's press conference yesterday?
Did not know.
Oh, Diamond Dave is just the greatest.
He can sure shovel the BS, can't he? He is just the ultimate salesman.
Nobody shovels it
it's
like
the greatest
him.
Band ever back together, and this is new, folks. Not a reunion. This is a brand new.
Whatever. It's not a reunion?
They're saying.
That's what he says.
Isn't it by nature a reunion?
Well, it's not all of the original members. They got Wolfgang, Eddie's son, playing bass now. So it's three of the original members. But they're claiming that this is Van Halen, a new version. It's going to be a full, real band. They're going forward. This is for now and forever. This isn't just a one tour.
Oh, sure.
This isn't just a one-off. They are back to stay in this new incarnation.
But David Lee Roth and Eddie Van Halen don't get along.
Hugged on stage.
They were hugging.
Hugged.
Yeah.
Eddie called him, he's my new brother. That's how well they're getting along.
Okay, they need money.
I think our advice, again, was if you want to go, be sure to buy a ticket early in the tour. I think that's all we can suggest.
Tour kicks off September the 27th in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I don't know if they've announced all other 25 dates, but they'll be playing all over.
I think I'd fly to Charlotte if I were you.
Just want to catch that early.
Let's see that first one.
We sound better than ever, man. You're just going to, we're hi-fi and lo-fo and speedy and fast and lean.
He's saying all kinds of insane things, actually. It's very entertaining. And that's it for now.
All right.
Because I'm running out of time.
We do have a
3 days still counts a musical tune.
What's that?
Yes. 3 days till High School Musical 2. I just want to give you the
Why
countdown.
Are you engaging
Thank
him
you,
on that
I appreciate
topic.
That.
Well, you know.
Dear God.
Bean doesn't have much in his life.
It's going to be one of the big TV events of the year. You guys know that.
You going to cancel your trip to Italy with it with your wife so you can sit down and watch it?
No, it doesn't. I mean, it's Friday night, so I'll be fine.
I don't think I'm comfortable around you anymore.
Doesn't conflict with anything. Believe me, I've had my calendar cleared all summer long for this one.
Gay, 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 gay.
Today's celebrity birthday, Steve Martin, 62 years old today. Carl Lumley from Alias and Mantis. Let's not forget that. He's 56. He looks great for 56, by the way.
Yeah.
Yes,
remember Marcus
does.
Dixon on Alias? He was like running around and kicking people's ass and being all secret agent-y?
Yeah.
Who knew he was 56?
Black guys between the age of 30 and 70 all look 30.
It's true. They're just ageless.
Not white guys,
never
but black guys.
To, yeah. You have to cut them in half and count their rings to find out how old they are.
That's the only way.
Halle Berry's 41 years old today. There's another person who's aging well.
Sweet!
Catherine Bell from JAG is 39. And Mila Kunis from That 70 Show is 24. That's a three beller right there.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm like, what are you doing? What's the matter?
Just move on. Don't engage
I'm
him.
I'm serious.
Do not engage him.
You got to put him someplace else.
I know.
Because I keep looking this direction. He's right behind you all the time.
I know, but I'm saying don't look.
He catches my eye. Can we put him behind a screen or something?
Yes.
All right. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hey, listen, I know one of our all-time favorite guests, Drew Carey, is on the phone, Kevin. But before we bring him on, do you have the big theme song for his new hit TV show, Power of 10? That's the Bay 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 song. That's not Power of 10.
Yeah, that's what they're using for the theme.
I don't think that doesn't sound right.
That's not
no,
it?
I don't think so. Power of 10 Wednesday nights. That's tomorrow night at 8 o'clock on CBS. Welcome back to the show, Drew Carey. Hey, Drew.
Hey, man. How's it going?
Very good. How are you?
That's going great, man.
I still have to hear it in my office.
I know you do. Drew brings that up. It's so funny. How many years ago was that? You did your show from 95 to...
10 years ago. I've had that thing for like 10 years now.
We bought like these 99-cent blue parrots as parting gifts, and we asked him to put it on his... On his set of his TV show, and he did. It was on his show pretty much every episode.
Yeah, we just left it in the kitchen.
And he kept it, though. And 2 weeks ago, I come home and I check my email, and there's an email from Drew Carey that he sent me a picture of his blue parrot from his office. Right? Was that next to your Cleveland Indians bobblehead, Drew?
Cleveland Browns bobblehead, yeah.
Cleveland Browns. Now, was that the bobblehead they made of you?
Pardon me?
Was that the bobblehead they made of you?
Yeah, I have my own bobblehead. I don't have it on display. So I don't have any pictures of me in my house.
Yeah. What would possibly make you keep that 99-cent blue parrot?
It was really funny.
That's a joke. I won't quit.
Now, here's the thing about Drew Carey. When Drew walked away from his very successful Drew Carey show, of course, he had more money than God. And then I remember at the time Drew said, well, I'm pretty much, I still love to do stuff that I find fun. I'm going to do whatever I want. So you did the Whose Line Is It Anyway, which you loved. I know that was one of your favorite gigs of all time. And then your plan, it seemed, was to back off of TV and travel the world and go see sporting events and take pictures and just live the life. What happened? How are you now the busiest man in show business again, Drew?
I don't know. You know that... Stupid Michael Davies, he's the guy that produces Power 10.
Right.
He pitched me the show, and it sounded so interesting. I was having lunch with a senator that day. I know the senator from Ohio because I'm friends with the family.
Right.
And it was daughter. So he was out in L.A., and he goes, hey, you want to have lunch? Sure. You always want to have lunch with the senator. And then Michael Davies pitched me the show that day, and I had, like, politics on my mind because I was meeting with the senator, I guess.
Right.
And the question he gave me as an example was, what percentage of Americans know the name of their governor? You know that, by the way?
Okay. What percentage of Americans know the name of their governor?
Yeah.
I'm guessing because you're asking it, it has to be surprisingly low.
Yeah, it is.
It's less than 60%?
It's 12% outside of California.
That's not true.
12? So basically 1 in 10 people know their governor's name.
Yeah, 20% if you include California.
Oh, my God.
That is shocking. So when you heard that, you thought, wow, that's addictive. That's the kind of show that would be fun. But why not just watch it? Let somebody else host it, and you could still enjoy it every week.
Well, because he, you know, it would only be, he would work it out, the whole schedule around the galaxy, so I could see all my galaxy games. And
you still have your box at Home Depot there?
Yeah, still have my box. It would be like part, yeah, as a matter of fact, when Beckham made his debut against Chelsea, they were talking about, oh, all the celebrities are here. And I was like, hey, man, what the hell?
I've been here all along.
You've been there for years. Yeah.
That's funny.
So you said that sounds like too fun to not do. And last week on
I have a nice part-time gig in New York, and why not?
Yeah, so last week on the show, when you debuted it, though, somebody won $1 million, right?
Somebody already won $1 million.
You're going to make the questions harder.
On the very first show.
Well, you know, it's hard. You know, don't look for $1 million winner too soon.
Oh, sure, yeah. We can see that from history.
People
let me
go like this. The show after that, like the one after that, people couldn't even get the $100,000 question.
Let me play the clip. This is from the – I guess they're going to replay it Saturday night, right, Drew?
I guess so.
I think so. Yeah, this is the $1 million one.
Let's see it, man. For $1 million, let's see what America said.
Oh,
Jamie Sadler.
Oh my God.
So, Drew, when the answer is, say, 12%, like in the example you gave, how close to that answer does the contestant have to get in order to win?
Well, for the $1,000 question, you have a 40-point range, and you can slide the little slider up and down the scale, and the answer has to fall within that 40-point range.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And then the range gets smaller and smaller. For the $1 million question, you only have a 10-point range, and then the answer has to fall within that 10-point range.
And how close was that guy?
Well, he was within the range. We told him he won the million. And then for the $10 million, you have to guess the exact number within the 10-point range. So we ask you the same question twice.
Oh, I see.
And then he had a 1 in 11 chance to win the $10 million. But if he lost, he would have lost his million.
You gave away $10 million?
No.
Oh, he didn't go for it.
He didn't go for it.
Oh, he didn't go for it. But
he didn't want to lose the million.
Yeah.
And he would have lost a million.
How about that? Drew Carey's on the phone. We're talking about the Power of 10, hit new game show on CBS Wednesday nights at 8. I know you're on a tight schedule. You're going to have a couple of minutes, but we got to talk Price is Right, first of all. Congratulations, dude.
Oh, yeah, Price is Right is great. I'm having a really good time. I hurt my arm on the grocery game.
Please tell us how that happened. What happened?
I was goofing around. You know, the grocery game is revealed on a big revolving carousel and an electric door that comes around. And, you know, the models on it and stuff, she like appears out from behind the wall. And it was rehearsal, and it was the last time we were doing it before I went to lunch. And I was having lunch with Joe Roth and the big movie producer, and I've been trying to get a hold of him for like a month. And I didn't want to miss the lunch. I thought, I have to get going. And I was joking around as if the wall was going to knock me back.
Right.
And I had my arm up, and the wall smashed into my arm, and it got caught between the wall and the revolving thing.
Drew, how many years did Bob Barker do that job without getting hurt?
35. We're at CBS by Fairfax and Beverly. I'm on my way out on Monday, and they have the little safety thing where you punch in,
right?
You know, that they have in every factory,
right?
And
right.
I said, we have gone 0 days
because of you.
Thanks to Drew Carey.
Did the announcer
got hurt? And I was like, oh, it was me.
Did the announcer butt in with
the price is wrong, bitch?
Hey, Drew, one last question. Now that you've seen it up
close. I wanted to change the name of the show to TikTok, bitch. That's all I wanted to change the name.
Sure, yeah. Now that you've seen it up close and personal with a bunch of the shows that you've taped, are you surprised at how insane the contestants are that show up for Price is Right tapings that we've always heard about our whole lives?
I haven't taped any yet. I'm just rehearsing, but we start taping Wednesday.
And oh, okay.
People started yesterday when I was at rehearsal. People were already lined up for Wednesday's show.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I can't, that Wednesday's the first show we're going to tape. It's going to be insane down there. I can't wait.
And you're going
to
be
one of the reasons I wanted to do the show. I thought, who would want to be in the middle of that every day?
You're going to be in a cast?
Yeah. No, I'm wearing a splint. I can take it off for the thing.
Dude,
I'm so bruised up. It's so ugly looking.
You so need to come up with a better story than that.
Can I send you a picture of my arm? You can put it up on the website.
Yeah, of course. Yes. Yeah, I'd love to see it. Yeah. All right. Drew Carey, Power of 10 airs tomorrow night at 8 o'clock on CBS. And the new Price is Right, I guess, debuts next month, right, Drew?
Yeah. Tell me your, yeah, Power, Price is Right comes on in October. Power 10's on every Wednesday. When we go off the air, give me your email and I'll send it to you right away.
Okay. Okay. It's bean at krock.com or kevin at krock.com.
Oh, okay.
That's
you just give it out in the air like that.
Yeah. People email us, Drew.
We're not famous. It's not a problem for us, Drew. All right, dude. Best of luck to you. Thanks for coming on the Kevin DeBeach Show, as always.
Bye.
Thank you, man.
Dirty Jobs is the show, Tuesday nights at 9 on Discovery. Ladies and gentlemen, how about Mike Rowe in the studio of the world-famous K-Rock?
Geez,
how about that?
Please, you're too kind.
Boy, is Alex, our assistant producer, moist right now for Mike's appearance. I'll tell you that.
Jeez.
Should I push her out of there?
Should
room.
I play the theme song for Dirty Jobs as we get started?
Yeah. All right. Let me hear that.
Yeah.
Hey, baby. Kevin, that's not it. That's that bad baby song. That's not it.
Hey, I don't know why they're using it either. You don't ask me.
Give me the real thing. Give me the real song.
Hey, that's season four, man.
That's Mike.
Now everyone who's got a job has got his dues to pay. Working for a paycheck and getting through the day. But if you're bored or otherwise inclined to be a slob, grab some boots and lose that suit and get a dirty job. Fight a fire or tread a tire or ride a garbage truck. Save a seal or make some meal or manage miles of muck. Misbehave inside a cave with 40 million fats. Find some friendly roaches in a sewer filled with rats. Dirty jobs, they're everywhere. Just take a look around. Down the street or up the stairs or even underground.
I didn't realize it was a full song.
Neither did I.
I thought it was just an intro.
I Mike, wrote that I saw on you... a plane coming back from I don't know where on a napkin. And
really?
It, how, I know, this is how weird.
How would the people that you sung opera with think of that song?
They don't talk to me anymore. Yeah. And it's just as well. I don't
how many verses did you write, Mike? Jesus.
All of them. Yeah. You know what? I mean, well, what happened was I was coming back from someplace in the South Pacific and thinking about what had happened over the last couple of years. And essentially, we had done 100 jobs. And I just wrote the jobs down and thought, you know, somebody with a shred of talent ought to maybe write some kind of catchy tune. And
but
I thought
they weren't available.
They weren't available. So there I was, stuck on a plane for 12 hours. So, yeah. You know.
I saw you on Larry King Live the other night.
Oh, dear.
And Larry is he's addled and senile, and he doesn't know who anybody is. I mean, the day that Lindsay Lohan got arrested again, I wanted to tune into Larry King hoping he would be on because he wouldn't know who she was or what happened. I mean, you go to him, he's on CNN, he never has any idea who anybody is or what anybody does. So he's sitting there trying to get his brain around what Mike does for a living. And he's like, well, why do you do it? Well, who would want to do that? Well, nobody would want to do that.
What's the point?
Well, what's the point of that? Well, that's not a good job. And he could not get his head around the fact that you do it because people really do these dirty jobs, and they're essential jobs to keep the world running, and you kind of shine the spotlight on them. And he never got that. I don't think the whole hour you sat there with him.
You said doo-doo.
He did. Can I read the episode summary for tonight?
Sure.
Mike Rowe gets dirty as he braves the untamed world of Vomit Island.
Oh,
yeah, I forgot about that one. That's a good one. Vomit Island.
Vomit Island.
How can you forget Vomit Island?
Well, it's a little slice of heaven up in Erie, Lake Erie. It's actually called West Sister Island, and people aren't allowed. It's a refuge for herons and cormorants and every imaginable bird, sure.
Okay.
And once a year, the Department of Fish and Game goes in. And they do a site survey. They count the nests, and they ban the birds, and they do all this avian work. But
how do they ban them? How do they not let them on the island?
Banned.
Like they crawl up the trees like monkeys, and they grab them, and then they put these little steel rings on their feet. The thing is, the birds, they hate the people, you know, and they see us coming on boats, and as we get closer, they get agitated. And then as we walk through this heavily vegetated forest, they begin throwing up on us.
As a means of self-defense?
I can't decide if it's a means of anxiety or self-defense, but it works on both levels.
Fantastic.
So as a job goes, it's fantastic. On the one hand, you are saving a lot of these birds from eventual extinction. And on the other hand, you're being covered in all of their bodily fluids in real time.
Oh, my God.
What, awesome.
What do you wear on an assignment like that one, Mike?
I go with the any kind of rubber polymer works well.
A hazmat suit's what I would go in.
You know what? My standard T-shirt and khakis, basically.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Now, oh, throw up on you.
It is a heck of a... And here's the thing. It's not the kind of throw up you're thinking about. It's not Saturday morning.
What kind is there?
Well, there's the kind where, you know, you coax up even though you really don't need to.
Right.
This is an undigested fish. Whoa! This is half of a fish that comes flying backwards through the well-muscled throats of these birds and hits you with a certain, let's just say, extreme prejudice. I mean, it's coming at you with speed, and it will wake you up.
They're actually
it's
shooting a weapon. At you and vomiting.
Yeah. True projectile.
I don't get it. Why would anyone do that? That doesn't make any sense. And it's a poo-covered island as well. It's not just you're being assaulted with vomit. It's actually a poo graveyard, too.
That's
on the island, right?
No, it's a full-on assault from both ends of the birds. If they're not vomiting on you, they are wildly incontinent and expressing that.
Oh, dear God.
It's a heck of a thing to see.
When are you going to bring in your replacement host and just be the executive producer and not get thrown up on it?
Well, that's why I'm here today. Congratulations.
You're in. I think it might be impossible.
No,
it might be impossible to find anyone else to do this crap.
No, it's a pretty short list of potentials, you know. I mean, it's not really a show, and I'm not really a host. I'm the guest, you know, and it took me years to get this thing on the air. And now that it is, I really don't know how to stop it. All the ideas come from the viewers. We show up. And truly, you know, reality TV, it is what it is. I don't know what the word means anymore, but we honestly don't have a script or an agenda. We just start shooting when it's light, and we stop when it's dark.
Right.
And then we come back and we see what we get. So
people just call you or write you and say, you have to see my job.
There are 200,000 posts on the website right now, and I'm not even kidding. You should see my uncle. You should meet my cousin. When you see what my father does, my mother is so dirty.
200,000.
I've become.
I was just going to ask: is there any danger of running out? And then you said 200,000 deep. You're not going to live to be old enough to do a fraction of that.
The real danger is that they're not going to run out, and then what will happen to me?
Point you're going to have to stop because you're tired of throw up and poop.
Lisa, did you write in and complain about your job for Mike?
Oh my God, it's the worst job ever. I wouldn't even subject Mike to my
How
job.
How dare you?
Working with you two.
The show is on Tuesdays at 9 on Discovery. Mike Rowe is here. He's the host of Dirty Jobs. We'll take a quick break and we will come right back.
Mike Rowe is here in the studio this morning. He is, of course, the host of Dirty Jobs. Tonight, new episode at 9 o'clock on Discovery. Mike, you get asked this question all the time. Forgive me, but I know our audience is thinking the same thing. How do they find the regular people to do these jobs that you profile on TV? What kid wakes up and says, I know what I'm going to be when I grow up, is a guy who cleans septic tanks? Where do these people come from?
You know, I think they've always been here. And, you know, it's a simple show with big themes. And one of the biggest themes is... you know, Rosie the Riveter is not really dead and gone. And that whole sort of work ethic that a lot of people remember from their father and grandfather, it's still out there. And so are the jobs. They just don't get the press and the spin and the promotion anymore. So
right. But if you're going to be the guy who gets up and has a physical, you know, 9-to-5 working hard job, why would you choose septic tank cleaner when you could choose plumber, you could choose digger, you could choose any number of other things that aren't as dirty?
Wouldn't you think that it's people who don't have any other options?
Yeah, I don't think it's
well, you
choose.
Would,
it's
but
just
it's,
what's available.
But you know what? What I found is that's really not the case.
Choose it.
Well, the septic tank guy is a great example. He's one of the first people we met. Les Swanson was his name. And
I remember that episode.
Yeah, I was up in Wisconsin, and I'm in a pumping station with him. Literally, we're up to our nipples in other people's raw sewage.
Wow.
It's as bad as it can be.
Right.
And it's 110 degrees, and I look at him, and I say, Les, you know, what the hell, man? How did this happen? And he said, well, you know, before this, I just got tired of my old job, and I wanted to try something else. And I said, well, what were you doing? And he said, I was a psychologist.
What?
And now, I swear to God, I look at him, and I said, well, why would you leave that to do this? And without missing a beat, and he wasn't joking, he said, I got tired of dealing with other people's crap.
See? See what he did?
And you know what? I mean, yeah, it's good for a laugh, but the truth is that guy's day is full of visual cues. You know, he knows how he's doing. He knows when he's done. He works 8 hours. He goes home. The wife's waiting. The beer's cold. His life makes sense.
Yes.
Right, and he leaves it behind. He doesn't have to take his work home with him. Right?
Give me your first thoughts. I'm just going to throw out some of the jobs you've done and just what comes to your mind first. Bug breeder.
That was actually the worst smell. Bug breeder in the bug room in Oklahoma at Skulls International, where they use dermestid beetles to clean the flesh off of skulls that they're preparing for for laboratories and science and such. Terrible.
Avian vomitologist.
Ultimate entrepreneurial job. Don Ciccoletti picks up hunks of vomit in the forest, expectorated by owls. Inside of the vomit are the skeletal remains of the creature swallowed whole and digested. He sells them to schools. The kids rearticulate the skeletons.
Garbage pit technician.
Absolute bloodbath. There is an entire chamber underneath most normal dumps where all of the garbage is transferred. It's the seventh level of hell, and those guys in San Francisco earn their money.
Parade float dismantler.
Perhaps the most liberating day I've had on the job, with a pick, a hammer, a sledgehammer, a blowtorch, and a giant bandsaw, I was given the opportunity to disassemble all of the parade floats in the Rose Bowl parade. I hate parades, personally. This was a great day for me.
It was a vendetta.
It was.
Gandhi dancer.
Back-breaking work. Spent the next day in the hospital getting a disc repaired. Gandhi dancing.
I don't even know what that is, by the way.
Railroad work.
Oh.
So you're basically on one of those carts. You're pushing yourself around. You get to a broken railroad tie. You hop off.
That's named poorly.
It truly is.
Hippo pool cleaner.
Not bad. Little scuba diving, really. The bollusks, or the poo from the hippo, are tremendous in and of themselves in both size and volume. So removing them is much easier than a lot of other animal
and
waste.
And finally, QVC host.
Maybe the bottom.
Yeah, that's as low as it gets.
Yeah, and that's where I
Mike
started.
Mike knows more about poo, by the way, than most Americans. Hey, let's squeeze it. I know we're running desperately late. We have to squeeze in a couple calls. Give me Lindsay, please. She's down in Ventura, and she's on line 5. Lindsay, you're on the air with Mike Rowe, host of Dirty Jobs on Discovery. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hi. Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Lindsay.
Mike, I love your show.
Thanks.
I look forward to Tuesdays for just because of Dirty Jobs. But I have to ask, how many shots have you had in the time frame that you've been doing this,
you mean like
show?
Vaccinations and whatnot?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there was an episode where you guys were like attacked by monkeys and stuff.
That was
a
bad one. Yeah, yeah. We all got, well, I got cut. My buddy got scraped badly, and my sound guy got bit to the bone by a vervet monkey in KwaZulu Natal, South Africa. And
that happened
it
to
was
me.
Bad.
I don't recognize half of those
bad.
Words.
But no, to answer your question, you know, your gamma globulin, your basic tetanus, your boosters. But at this point, I prefer the theory that says we've developed a natural immunity, because we've been around a lot of bad things for a long time.
Your immune system is probably stronger than all of us.
It's, you know, it's got me here.
Wow.
Yeah, right.
Thank you for the call.
Great question. Let's do the flip side of that question with Ben. He is in Corona. Hi, Ben. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. You got a question for Mike? Go ahead.
Hey, party people. The flip side of that question, I guess, would be, you know, what does it cost to insure you and your crew because of the filth you come in contact with?
Man, I so hope the network's listening, because the insurance issue for me for a long time was tough. Eventually, Lloyd's of London took a policy out on me.
Really?
And, wow. But yeah, it was about a year or so where things were kind of up in the air. And really, when you send in the description of what you do, they just laugh at you. You know, I mean,
yeah.
It's forget it.
Yeah, of course. First of all, they probably don't even believe it exists. But.
Yeah. Yeah. So you get bit by sharks on purpose. Great. Sign here. That's, you're in.
I got to ask you this, because we've done this topic before, bad jobs that our listeners have. And the one that seems to be the worst is the mopping up of the floor in the adult theater. You ever done that?
You mean created the mess or helped clean
no,
it up?
No, 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 no.
Clean it up.
The cleanup crew, yeah.
Well, I guess both. I mean, if you have an interesting
well,
story.
I prefer to clean up after myself, but no.
You've never done that. That's even
no.
below.
No. No. I mean, look, this is the Discovery Channel, and some things are best left
right.
undiscovered.
I agree. Let's close with Megan in Orange County with our final question. Again, Mike Rowe, terrific guest, a terrific show, too. Dirty Jobs tonight at 9 on Discovery. Megan, you get the final word with Mike. Go ahead.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
Great. Thanks.
Okay, I absolutely adore you. I watch you on the marathons just so I can see you all day long. But I have a question for you. I'm a dirty girl. How can you clean me up?
Excellent.
Well, now.
Great. All right.
Right.
Well, it's not just me, Megan. There are going to be 3 cameramen, a sound guy, and a PA, so...
The more the merrier.
How dirty are you?
Pretty dirty.
We're on our way.
It's a dating game now.
Sounds to me like a love connection.
We're
thank you, Megan.
Way.
Thank you, Mike. We appreciate it.
You bet, guys.
Thank Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat for Tuesday morning. Ralph, what's going on, dude?
The battle between Britney Spears and her beloved mom, Lynn Bad Lady Spears, continues on, according to the National Enquirer. Apparently, the two ran into each other on Robertson Boulevard here in Los Angeles outside the store Kitson. Here's where Kevin buys all his T-shirts.
I do.
And they ran into each other, and reportedly, Lynn gave her estranged daughter quite a tongue-lashing. Being a horrible role model
That's
for young
what
girls.
She said?
Having no respect for their family, and she said she sincerely hoped that Britney would get her act together. Britney replied with her usual class and dignity, "Lady, mind your own effing business."
Lady, nice.
Morning to onlookers. Maybe she was so loaded she didn't recognize her mom. Maybe that's what it was. So, who's this stranger just telling me to clean up my act? Lady, mind your own effing business, y'all.
Even people who hate their moms call a mom, don't they?
Yeah.
Exactly. Or Lynn or something. Couldn't she come up with something?
Lady.
Joe Francis, you know him from Girls Gone Wild.
Yeah. From jail.
Well, yeah, currently.
He does good work.
He's in jail. You know, he takes photos of 17-year-olds and puts them on his videos. And
does good work.
Molests people and cheats on his taxes, that kind of thing.
Sure.
Yeah. So he's pretty jammed up with the legal system right now. And he says that he's very upset as he sits in a jail in Reno, Nevada, that Hugh Hefner hasn't come to his defense.
What?
Yes.
What's he supposed to do?
He said he is fighting charges just like Hugh Hefner and Larry Flint have in the past. He is also a defender of free speech and sexuality, and he expects those two men to step up to his defense.
Isn't the problem that they were 17?
Well, sure, there's that. And he did run from the law, too. He was contempt of court for not showing up.
And taxes.
He's got some tax evasion issues.
Right.
But that's just like Larry Flint fighting for the First Amendment.
No, not at all.
Or Hugh Hefner carving an empire out of a magazine?
No, not at all.
Oh, so they're not a lot alike?
No, not at all.
Yeah. Apparently, Hugh has said so much the same, just that there's no comparison between his publication and the Girls Gone Wild enterprise. He said he seems like a nice guy, but there's really no relationship here, so I'm not going to rise to his defense. But Joe thinks Hef's dissing him.
Sure.
You know,
Joe crazy.
Joe is like a flea on the back of a tiger compared to Hefner. You know what I mean?
Right. True.
Even in the same weight class. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to be bummed.
Why?
It's not hot.
What's not hot?
That's what it's going to sound like. Wow. Turns out.
I didn't know you did impressions, Ralph. That's very good.
Turns out that Warner Brothers has let the rights lapse to the Conan the Barbarian character.
What?
Another company named Millennium Films has picked up the rights and plans to release a brand new series of films based on the books by Robert Howard. Since Warner Brothers owns the screenplays to the old movies, they won't be remaking those. They're going to do a brand new series with a brand new Conan. So Arnold will no longer be Conan. There'll be a new Conan.
But he wasn't ever going to be Conan again at 65 years old anyway, was he?
But he was always known for that character. I guess he was hoping that character would go down in the annals of film history as being his signature character, much like the Terminator. Psycho Mike?
I'm upset.
You going to get your audition on? You going to get ready? You going to start pumping up and get ready and play Conan?
No, it's blasphemy. Arnold is Conan, and I will not stand for this.
You won't.
Wow. Well, people should be afraid now.
There's plenty of beefcakes out there, but there was only one Conan the Barbarian, and I pretty much modeled my life after Conan the Barbarian and his ethos on how to live.
Uh-huh.
All right. That's creepy.
This hurts.
Well, hey, guys, if it were me, I would just give the role to Conan O'Brien. I would just have him do it.
Oh, great joke.
How awesome would that be, though? Skinny little Irish Conan O'Brien playing Conan the Barbarian.
Welcome to my nightmare.
Not good, I guess, is the answer.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You are so f***ing funny. You are so... God damn you for being so funny! Oh my God! Oh!
Now, as everyone knows, that was not successful.
Okay, I got it.
You know Tawny Kitaen?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
The lunatic.
Oh, yeah.
We saw her on Surreal Life a couple seasons ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Sure.
She was, of course, famously married to the White Snake lead singer. She was in Tom Hanks' Bachelor Party, that movie. Anyway, sure. She's suing her ex-boyfriend. As of yesterday, for allegedly stealing more than $3 million from her during their four-year relationship. Like, she has $3 million to steal.
Yeah.
Wow.
She can't, right?
Apparently, she was dating a guy named Phil Seibert. He was a real estate executive, and she claims he used her credit cards, withdrew funds from her brokerage account, and forged her name on checks
Wow.
to steal her money. To add insult to injury, she also claims he stole her airline miles.
No,
he really
didn't.
Is that really worth putting in the lawsuit, really, in the big picture?
And I want my miles back.
That's right. I'm taking a trip to Minnesota, and I want to go first class. I want an upgrade. So we'll wait and see what's happening there. A lot of people are saying it may be just a case of woman scorned. But
right.
We'll have to wait and see.
I remember when we had her in, and we all found her to be charming and very pretty.
Yes.
Yeah.
And quite the loon.
A bit crazy.
Yeah.
And forget about, dogfighting in football and steroids in baseball. What's going on with pro wrestling?
No kidding.
Another pro wrestling death. Jeez. According to the WWE website, Bryan Adams died.
That guy's career has fallen.
I know.
He used to be a singer, now I know.
He used
wrestler.
To that 1969 song, and now he's wrestling. He was known as Crush. If you're familiar with the WWE's tag team Demolition, he was Crush of Demolition. Died at the age of 43. Obviously, there will be questions as to whether steroids played any role in his death. Apparently, he did have some charges back in 1994, where he was arrested for gun and weapons charges for carrying a stun gun, and he was found with steroids on him, believe it or not. Yeah.
Well, they can't pin this one on Chris Benoit, at least.
No, they cannot. But another disturbing news for wrestling fans. So, there you go. Today's celebrity birthdays, Mila Kunis from That 70s Show. Also from Family Guy. She plays Meg on that show. She's 24 years old today. Catherine Bell of JAG is 39. Halle Berry turns 41 years old.
It's a hot day.
It is a hot day. And Antonio Fargas, who played Huggy Bear on Starsky and Hutch, is 61.
Not totally hot.
No bell for Huggy Bear?
No.
I'm sorry.
Steve Martin, 62. He's funny.
You don't get Newlywed. A bell for being funny, though.
Yeah. Yes, Newlywed Steve Martin. And Carl Lumley, who played Marcus on Alias, one of my favorite shows of all time. He is 56 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
There's a programming update, too. We talked to funny man Drew Carey 1 hour ago, the new host of The Price is Right. You may have heard in the news that he got injured in an on-set accident during a Price is Right rehearsal. And he emailed us the photos after we talked to him of his just ravaged arm. It was much more serious than I expected from the reports that I heard. Anyway, those pictures are available at krock.com. If you want to go to the Kevin and Bean section in the sites page, if you want to see what poor Drew's arm looks like after a run-in with a Plinko machine or whatever it was.
If you're like I am, you're not a big fan of the politics or the politicians.
Yeah.
But Karl Rove has left the White House. He was considered Bush's brain.
Yeah, they made a whole documentary about him called, with that title, Bush's Brain. He's the smartest guy in Washington, they say.
Which is funny because Bush really isn't known for being brainy.
Well, because he has no brain.
Yeah, maybe that is. But Karl has left, and we thought maybe we should get the take of the vice president, Dick Cheney, on the program this morning on
K-Rock. Dick Cheney, Dick.
Good morning, Mr. Vice President.
Me, Cheney. Me, Cheney.
Little bit of excitement yesterday in Washington as your longtime friend Karl Rove decided he's going to retire to spend more time with his family, as he put it.
So?
Well, it's a big change for the White House, that's all.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Change for the better.
Oh, really? Oh. You didn't get along with him? I thought you were on board.
Yeah.
No, I never cared for him.
But you two would be the closest people to the president. It seems like it'd be essential that you're on the same page.
Yeah, there's not enough man to go around, I think, there with George Bush.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I feel like a girlfriend whose man has finally left his wife.
How about that?
Wow.
So you're glad to see, because Carl, I mean, he's considered the architect of George W. Bush. He's the guy that helped him get
architect.
Elected.
Oh, he got him elected. He's the architect. Oh, he's put his brain. Blah, 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 blah.
You're not getting enough credit?
What about me? He may be Bush's brain, but I'm Bush's spleen.
Okay. Well, is that good?
Doesn't make any sense, Mr. Vice President. You don't want to be a spleen. A spleen doesn't do anything.
Oh, what? Name me an organ that does something, then.
Heart, I guess, but you'd be the wrong guy to go to for that.
That's not going to work. I'm his colon.
Colon.
No, that's
Powell. That's not good. That's Powell.
I'm his liver.
Liver.
No, that's shot to hell.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm an important organ. I'm a lung. That's it. I'm a lung. I'm Bush's lungs.
How are things going to change now that Rove is gone?
Well, I will finally have more say-so in policy, which is an excellent result.
Oh.
Carl won't have the president's ear so much anymore, so I will be able to get some changes that I'd like to see happen in the administration, finally get to push them through in the last the final days of the administration.
Does George Bush have any thoughts of his own, or is just somebody always with their hand up his ass? Yeah, that's what I thought.
Oh, Dick.
Wow, I've never heard you laugh.
I've never heard anything so funny before. That's why. Oh, that's Dick. A good one. Hold on a second.
Whoa, what are you shooting at?
That's just a celebratory gunshot. You earned that. That was a good one.
But, Mr. Vice President,
sometimes
usually...
when I'm happy, I just like to fire firearms.
Sure. Yeah. But usually you stick up for the president in this case, and you do everything you can to make him look as good as possible. You don't laugh in his face at the very thought that he might actually be pulling some strings on his own.
I didn't laugh in his face. He laughed in your face.
Yeah, that's true.
It's very different.
That's true.
That was a good one.
So what about these next 18 months? What is it that you would like to see done differently now that the architect has stepped down?
Well, first of all, I'd like to declare war on Armenia.
What are you talking about?
That system of a down's got to be stopped.
There's nothing wrong with that. They're a very popular rock band.
You heard that new Serge Tarkanian song?
Yes.
Oh, how have you heard it?
That sucks.
You know Serge? You know him?
No, I don't know, but I heard the song.
Right.
God, that's got to be stopped.
Well, I don't think we program our radio station for you, Mr. Vice President.
Well, that's going to stop, too.
Okay, all right.
There you go. What was a warning shot.
That sounded like a smaller weapon.
Take it for what it's worth.
Okay.
I got all kinds of weapons. Yeah.
Oh, what's that?
Same one.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I got all kinds of weapons.
Wow, that's scary. All right.
You don't screw with me.
No. We saw what you did to your friends. I can imagine what you do to us.
Damn. Wow. Dick.
Hold on. There we go.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. Or if you were not listening earlier this morning, it's the Kevin and Potential Juror Show.
Thank you very much for remembering that. I am Juror 10230-8715 is how I'd like to be referred to as now. And apparently I'm expected to appear on September the 19th at King County Courthouse.
This
so I'm very
reminds
excited about
me
that.
Of when he insisted that we call him Mosquito Man. Do you remember that?
Oh,
Mosquito.
Yeah.
Mosquito.
Mosquito.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah.
You are a retard.
Hey, who this is going to be a great question that we're going to ask you in about 10 minutes for you to call in. Who do you hate most on The Hills, which is the number one rated show on MTV, and why? That's the question on the table.
That's a tough one. There's a good battle going on with that.
Who do you hate most on The Hills and why? And we'll accept all answers. It can be Lauren, it can be Heidi, it can be Justin, it can be Spencer, it can be Audrita. Whoever you hate the most, we want to know why. We'll take your calls in about 10 minutes. Right now, though, we got to take care of some follow-up on the latest Psycho Mike song, I guess, that has caused some controversy in cyberspace.
Well, TMZ and our friend Harvey Levin put up... the K-Fed song, and the headline is K-Fed feeding it to Grandma?
Yeah.
He's over Britney, but does K-Fed have a thing for Sean and Jaden's grandmother? Britney is reportedly pissed off that both her ex-husband and her mom, Lynn, claiming they teamed up to force her into rehab, but are they teaming up in the bedroom as well?
That sounds too good to be true.
Kevin and Bean from LA's K-Rock are helping spread the rumor with a new K-Fed, in quotes, jam called MILF Does a Body Good. Finally, a K-Fed track we're supposed to laugh at. So we did the song, Harvey put it up, and we got some great comments from people who read TMZ.com that are not familiar with our show or our station or anything. So, should we play the song first or play it last?
Yeah, let's play the song first, and you can hear what people are talking about.
A lot of ladies think that the Fountain of Youth is some cream or some pill or exercise, but the Fountain of Youth is in between my thighs. Sure. Yeah, K-Fed knows age ain't nothing but a number, baby. One thing K-Fed learned back in the hood is that making love to MILFs does a body real good. I ain't no phony. I like my bitches old and bony with areolas big and round like slices of bologna. If you watch Golden Girls, say hey. Soccer moms, senior citizens, and divorcees. If your pubic hair's turning nice and gray, I relieve your pain better than a tuba Bengay. Don't want no whippersnappers or young chickadees. I want a middle-aged bitch with boobies dangling on her knees and her jeans all the way up above her belly button. Eating estrogen pills like a glutton, oh yeah. Let's watch Murder, She Wrote, and Angela Lansbury. Go to a PTA meeting and then we'll Can I smoke weed at a PTA meeting?
You can go to yoga and then we'll f***. You're gonna need to be flexible. Real flexible. MILF does a body good. Oh yeah.
Now, how could anybody be against that song? That's what I have to say.
Well, here's what's funny is that you get the whole realm of people who believe that it's real, or they're angry about it, or they think it's clearly fake. I mean, we all heard K-Fed. He couldn't do anything like that.
That's true.
He's not that talented.
There's about 100 or so comments on TMZ at this point, but I think it's funniest to focus on the ones of the people who clearly think that's a real song from the real Kevin Federline. Because that just blows my mind. Like you said, that anybody would even listen to that and think that that's a real song.
So on TMZ, there are comments, a comment section, and people can comment. And one of them is, that is an absolutely disgusting lie.
Okay. Well, they're commenting more on the rumor than they are on the song. And I think the rumor probably isn't true also. It does stretch the imagination that he's hitting Britney's mom.
But he's a douche. Well, I mean, would it surprise you either way?
I would be surprised if he were to do that.
I guess no as well, but it's funny. Another one, Britney's mom is sexier than Lindsay's mom. I'd do her.
Okay.
As if, like, people act like this is really a real song that Kate
had put out. It's fantastic. I love it.
Kevin's trying to protect his children. You people are just so jealous of him.
Yeah.
Who is it in this world that is defending K-Fed and saying that everybody's jealous of him?
That's insane.
Who cares enough about him or the story or whatever to be offended on his behalf?
What a reach this is. This is inappropriate and hardly believable. I'm glad the kids are not old enough to hear this trash.
Again, they think it's him.
I'm K-fed up with this loser. Boom. Best comment ever.
This is the best one ever. Is that K-fed singing? He's terrible.
Oh, that hurts.
That one I can agree on.
No, clearly, the last two comments I have are clearly the best. First one comes from a female, I'm assuming. Damn, Kevin, I'm over 50 and I still look good. Bring some MILF love in my way. I'll show you how it does a body good.
Oh, dear God.
Are you ready for this one from Boof? This comment from Boof. And let me thank you for that, Boof, if you're listening. Good for you, K-Fed. Bitches are like Charlie. If it moves, kill it.
I can't believe Psycho Mike didn't write that one.
I wish I wrote that. I wish I was Boof.
But didn't anyone get the joke that it was a comedy song? I mean, these people are out of their minds.
Well, it wasn't really, you know, heavy on the comedy, so maybe they didn't understand it was supposed to be a joke. I don't know.
What the hell? People scare me.
I mean, I thought, and this is just me, you know, I thought it was so sophomoric and ridiculous that there'd be no possible way that any reasonable adult could think that that was real. But, I mean, there's just comment after comment after comment. People upset at TMZ. People upset at the Kevin and Bean show that we would allow Kevin Federline to spew this trash on our airwaves.
This is desperately disgusting, even if it is just K-Fed. There are children involved, TMZ. This person's taking TMZ to task. How does it go from getting together to help Brit to this? Like, that's TMZ's job, is to get them back together.
TMZ has sunk to a new low. Insinuations about incest? That's what this is when it's family, and the grandmother of K-Fed's kids are family. Article, and the person who wrote this song is even sicker.
But the grandkids aren't sleeping with grandma.
Yeah, I know.
That's incest.
It doesn't make any sense.
What the hell is wrong with people today?
I love it. Good time.
Keep it up.
Good work.
Guys, haven't we suffered enough? Why did the Hills have to come back last night for the season? I mean, seriously. What are you trying to do to us, the American people? Are you trying to break our spirit?
No, I think it's a unifying factor. I think we're all split up on so many things. We all have different political philosophies, and we all like different stuff. But on this particular one, we can hate together.
Oh,
that's a good point.
I like that.
As one.
So in other words, the Hills is the new Al-Qaeda, is what you're telling me.
Yes, yes.
We want to know who you hate the most on the Hills and why. We'll play a couple of clips from the premiere last night, 1-800-520-1067. Before we get too far into it, though, let's talk to Tim real quick. He's calling us from Granada Hills. And the Hills, by the way, for folks who've never heard of it, is basically a reality show. It's a spinoff of Laguna Beach, and it basically just follows these, you know, these rich, popular people and how they date and where they shop and how they lay out at the pool. And that's the whole show, is just watching them talk to each other. Hey, Tim, good morning.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, Lisa May.
Hi, Tim.
You're excited like we are?
Actually, I'd like to say that I'm going to call your guys' manhood into question for a violation of a man law. Why do you guys watch The Hills?
Now, see, I didn't realize that was a man law.
That's got to be a man law. Even though I don't have the authority, I gotta put it out there.
Let me just ask this question. Is there one hot chick on it?
Yeah, I barely. Guess I've seen the commercials.
Barely. But, these are girls who think they're hot.
Right?
These are girls who think they're hot, even better.
They think they're hot. I mean, they're L.A. girls, which means they look super fake and they think they're all that, but they're really kind of gross. What did you call Heidi earlier, Mike?
Bush pig.
She's a bush pig. Yeah, she is.
Oh, come on.
She is fugly. She really is fugly.
Not.
And thinks she's hot. That's the thing.
Did she used to be fat and now she's all that? Would you say? All right, Tim, we accept your scorn. I don't know how to defend that. Thank you for the call.
Let's start with who you hate and why, and then we'll play a clip from last night's premiere. Let's go to Karen in La Habra. She's down on line 4-1-800-520-1067. Hi, Karen. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. Thank you.
What do you think?
Okay, well, I hate Heidi. And the reason is because, first, she got a boob job, and boob jobs are disgusting. But also, she...
Wait a minute. Hold on a second.
Rewind.
What? You're talking to the wrong guys, I'm afraid, Karen.
Did you say the words boob jobs
yes,
are disgusting?
Yes. Well, okay, hers is because it looks so fake.
Well,
yes,
that's fine.
I was going to with a caveat that a good boob job is the best thing in the world. A bad boob job, like Heidi's, is an affront against God. It really is. I mean, you're basically saying to God, look, I don't like what you did, so now I'm going to pay $5,000 and look worse than I did when I went in. You're right. That's disgusting.
It's one of the worst
I've
seen. And she's a girl who obviously has some wealth. You would think she, and being of somewhat celebrity status, she can get a good boob job. It looks like someone took chicken cutlets made of clay and pasted them on a really skinny girl's body.
Excellent. Good.
It's and gross. She only got it because Spencer wanted her to get it.
Oh,
because
don't get me started on
the playmate.
Yeah, that's
don't get me started on Spencer. But the reason you hate Heidi, besides the bad boob job, is what?
Also, her and Spencer started the rumor about her and Jason's sex tape.
Okay, now this is where we get to the crux of why it was a big deal to have the Hills come back last night. Episode 1, thank you very much for the call, Karen, we appreciate it. Episode 1 deals with this ongoing feud, and MTV couldn't buy this kind of publicity, by the way. It has been simmering all summer long in the tabloids between Lauren and Heidi, who are former roommates and former best friends. And Heidi apparently is the one who started, or at least made sure that everybody knew about this rumor about the sex tape between Lauren and Jason. Now here's a clip from last night's show, and I know it sounds like high school all over again, but it's not far removed from that. And this is Lauren talking to her friend Whitney about the sex tape rumors.
I didn't tell you what happened. No. I started having like my friends coming up to me and just telling me like really like rude, horrible rumors. And like the next thing I know, all like the exact same things they were telling me like ended up like on the internet.
Horrible.
And it got back to like Laguna and my parents.
What were the rumors?
They basically were saying that like me and Jason made, like, inappropriate videotapes.
Now,
who does that?
These girls are role models to America, by the way. These girls that you are listening to and how they speak and what they say, they're the girls that the rest of America looks up to.
Who does that?
Who does that? Let's try Janet in Santa Monica. Kevin and Bean Show talking about the Hills. Hey, Janet.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hi, Janet.
Who do you hate the most and why?
Well, the guy that I hate the most, like, in the world is going to be Spencer. He is a nappy-headed bitch.
Yeah, what is the deal with this guy, by the way?
What is the deal with his hair? And his teeth. Oh, my goodness, his teeth. Oh, my gosh. He is the biggest douchebag ever.
Does he have a ton of money or something? Does he have a ton of dough?
I don't know. The episode from yesterday was just like, it put it over the top. He goes to buy the ring, and he's talking to his friend Brody in the car. He's like, no player, blah, blah, blah. It's like, who does he think he is? He is so white. Why the hell does he talk like that?
I'm glad you brought that up, because he went out to buy an engagement ring last night for Heidi, and I think this is the clip that I have of him in the store, and this tells you everything you need to know about little Spencer.
Looking for some bling. Where's the most high-end?
This section right here.
Okay, I'm looking for some bling, he says. Where's the most high-end? He doesn't care what it looks like. He just wants to make sure it's expensive, okay?
Wow.
What do you think is the best stuff here you got?
I would say this line here. It's all 18-karat gold, white gold, yellow gold.
Wow. There we go. Sold.
There you go. That's all you need to know about Spencer right there. That's the amount of time he spent on looking for an engagement ring for his fiance.
Why don't they just name this show Hate Us?
You know?
That's a great question. Thank you for the call. Let's go to John. He's in Rancho Cucamonga on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, John, what do you think?
What's going on, guys? I hate the Hills because it has completely consumed my girlfriend and her friends, and they're just way too into it, you know? Like, the whole show is just, it's so fake, and it's just retarded.
And
you
hear your girlfriend on the phone, like, for hours each day talking about it, each one of them?
You know what I'm talking about? You guys must be, you got the same kind of girls then.
No, I don't with this particular show, but that happens. I mean, let's face it.
John, what do you think it is that makes this show the number one television show on MTV? Why do people like it so much?
Like you guys said, these chicks are trying to be role models, and you got, you know, all these girls out there who are trying to live that kind of lifestyle, and they just don't have it, you know?
I think we've seen from all of these shows, from the weight loss show with the Screech to all these other shows, you know that being hateable,
it works.
People get into. As long as they're hateable enough, people will watch forever.
Yep.
But there's nobody, I hope, watching this show who says, wow, I really want to grow up and be like that person.
No, of course not.
Are there?
No, I can't imagine, but...
Okay.
Of course not.
Let's close with Jessica and Yorba Linda. We just got time for one more call. Who do you hate on the Hills and why? It looks like, Jessica, you know Audrina, who I guess is one of Lauren's best friends.
Yeah, well, she went to school with a bunch of my friends. We actually all went to high school together. And she's been saying, you know, I read a magazine article about how she was saying something about Heidi getting a boob job, when actually right after high school her parents bought her graduation gift of a boob job.
She got a much better boob job, by the way.
Yeah, well, yeah. Her parents have money, so.
Now, do you recognize this person that you see on the Hills? Does she seem like the same person as you went to high school with? And the reason I bring that up is because last night Lauren had this big, confessional scene with her mom talking about how L.A. changes everybody. And once they get in a Hollywood lifestyle, everybody turns into something different. And they're not like they used to be. What do you think about Audrina, having known her before?
Well, in high school, she was really, like, kind of quiet and, like, you know, all the guys loved her. She was, like, homecoming queen and, you know, they all loved her, but she was just kind of, like, reserved and quiet. And so I don't know. I don't think she's that bad on the Hills, but, you know, I just don't like how it's so fake, how she's, like, saying stuff about Heidi. I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of Heidi either, but she shouldn't be saying stuff about somebody when she did the same thing.
Gotcha.
So,
I got to tell you, I didn't see last night's episode. I have seen the show one time before, but I think I'm going to side with our first caller that we are G-A-Y with capital letters.
You hate us for even knowing what the Hills is.
Yeah, I'm with the first guy.
All right.
I accept his scorn.
New episode next Monday night.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:56.
We should call.
Yeah, that's
what we do.
I'm saying.
Do the cookies make your boobs larger? Do you understand English? It's the same freaking horrible
Ralph,
bit every time you call a foreign country.
How dare you? How
dare
you?
Tomorrow morning in the 9 o'clock hour, we'll make that phone call, Ralph. That's an excellent suggestion.
But first, can we replay the last time we tried this?
No.
When I called you guy on it and it went horribly wrong and you said,
I don't remember it going horribly
you're
wrong.
You're absolutely right. We apologize. We shouldn't have done that.
I remember it going right.
It's 8:58 on KRQFM Pasadena, Los Angeles. How to settle the bet about your junk. You know how, I guess, some guys brag a lot? About, I mean, I don't have to. You know, it's obvious. But if you want to finally have the definitive way to measure your unit, we've got a guy with just the invention for you. He believes in it so much, he mortgaged his house to make this product. And we'll tell you all about it coming up. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Tuesday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
I think Lisa should measure us all.
Yeah. Okay, if I have to.
Well, we're going to have to tape two of them together then for me. You know? Because that's not nearly big enough.
You guys didn't even mention when you're talking about your Hills conversation.
Yeah.
Your favorite show.
I couldn't help it over here in the other room. As much as I tried to turn it to Big Boy, they kept turning it back.
Yeah.
It should not be able to call itself a reality show. It's the least real reality show on television.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's what a lot of people's complaint were, is that it was completely fake.
They never address for one moment what huge celebrities these bimbos have become.
Well, that's intentional from the producers of MTV. They don't allow that on the show.
They're intentionally deceiving people into thinking it's a reality show, because the biggest part of their lives right now is walking red carpets and showing up at events and being in tabloids, and they act like they're just, she's an average girl who works in an office. She sits at a desk at a job she never does. She just sits at a desk. She never apparently does any work. And she just talks to people. That's what her job is, apparently, over there at Vogue.
So you're hooked on it?
It's all BS.
So you love it?
We're all a little dumber for having it exist.
And why can't they be hotter, by the way? If they're just going to be vapid and mindless, why can't they at least be good-looking?
I don't understand people's fascination.
Although I think I'd do Whitney a favor. I think she's the only one, though.
You're a sport.
Wow.
I'm just saying. Lauren's got a mustache. So Heidi's a bush pig.
Would you say you're impossibly hooked then, Ralph?
I couldn't hate a show more than I hate that one, I don't think. I apologize to John of Cincinnati, which I called yesterday a bad show because I caught the season premiere of The Hills last night. And I realized it's
that's what a bad show looks like?
Yeah, exactly. That's bad. Of course, it didn't help much. HBO has announced today.
Yes.
They're canceling John of Cincinnati. Oh,
thank God.
Means we'll never know what John meant when he said, Mother of God, Cast Kai, at the end of that episode.
It was a rabid sick dog, Kevin, that had to be put down. It had to be shot for its own protection. Put it out of its misery.
Did you watch the season finale?
I haven't yet, no. But I watched every other episode.
Well, watch this one. You will say, F you.
You
John
will.
From Cincinnati.
Well, now that it's been canceled, I mean, yeah, now you want them to have wrapped it up.
How about giving you something? How about a little information instead of making the waters murkier?
Kevin, it was horrible by any standards of television. It would have been a horrible first episode, 15th episode, 300th episode. Doesn't matter where you are in the storyline. It was just a bad show.
The end is near.
Yeah.
In fact, the end is near. I loved Ed O'Neill's character. I loved him.
He took that character, put him on a good show.
Marching directions from a bird, for God's sake.
Yes, a psychic bird that would give him telepathic messages while bringing people back from the dead.
Yes.
F yourself. All right? Seriously.
Do I have to?
Yes. Yeah, you really do. Because that's what you loved about that show. That's the character you loved.
I like that show.
Yeah. Okay.
I know I'm alone. That's all right.
Don't get me wrong. I watched every episode.
All right, then. A-hole will be yelling at me.
I was compelled, but like train wreck television. I watched that, but I was increasingly frustrated. And by the end, I was really angry when Luke Perry started to sell outer space scuba suits for surfers. That's when he really started to cheese me off.
They did one thing well, which is what the F is this about?
But see, when you do that, when you do that kind of show, if you're doing a Lost or a Twin Peaks or something, you have to have some sort of grounding real plot, some sort of through line that you can follow that you can attach all the craziness to.
John.
Otherwise, you're just so weird. They lived in a city no one had ever known anything about. The Imperial Beach down there, that was a weird world, and the weird world of professional surfing. There was enough newness there that you can't just add more weirdness on top of it. You needed something normal.
It was 100% whipped cream and no actual food.
The crazy gay guy who wants to bulldoze the motel where he got raped and...
Oh, you mean Terry the Fairy?
Bad lawyer and the bumbling gangsters from Hawaii who show up out of nowhere. I mean, really, what the F?
And the jukebox that talked to you, too, by the way. What was that all about?
There wasn't one normal character on the entire show.
No, moment. The doctor who quits his job because he thinks he's seen God when the kid comes back to life.
I was praying for Heidi and Lauren to show up just so I understood what the hell was going on.
Come on, I like that show.
Did like that porn star, though.
Yeah. See? That's what I'm talking about. She was the most normal one of all, now that I think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, like
the
right, porn
so
star.
So the word is it's been canceled, though. That's why we're talking about it, right? It's over.
I'm only saying it because it's my buddy's wife, and I'm just like driving a little crazy.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I don't think he was too pleased that his wife was playing a porn star on HBO, but good times. All right, let's talk about Kevin Federline's acting career. Oh, he could have been on John from Cincinnati. That would have made him better. He could have been like another sky-surfing alien who came down.
Dude, the characters weren't that far out.
Apparently, Kevin Federline's acting career is going about as well as his rap career. He was supposed to have a role in a movie called The Night Watchman, starring Keanu Reeves. It was announced, and then Kevin kept waiting for the call, and he said, well, I just better get down to the wardrobe fitting because they haven't called me yet. And that's when he found out he wasn't a member of the cast.
Wouldn't you have loved to have had a camera on that conversation? Look at his face.
Apparently, the role never came through, and Kevin's manager never bothered to tell him. That's a bad way to find out that you're not on a show when you show up on the set.
Is anyone else surprised that he even has a manager?
Yes.
Come on.
I can't believe that he still gets any kind of work.
Who's doing that?
Dude, everybody's got a manager.
Well, there has to be some way for people to get in touch with him if they're trying to pitch him,
who's trying
opening
to
or something.
Pitch him?
I've got a manager, for Christ's sake. Kevin needs one more than I do.
No, he doesn't.
He's got more jobs. Apparently, he's got more job opportunities coming his way.
Save the nickel. That's the only thing they asked for. Save the nickel. Whatever that is. The penny or whatever it was. Yeah.
That's right. All hail the penny or whatever that campaign was. I know, but it stuck with us, didn't it? We sure know what that product was he was endorsing. Jessica Simpson wants a baby for her birthday.
Well, that's not the kind of thing you get for your birthday. That's not a birthday gift.
Well, she doesn't understand that. The story comes out of Self magazine. Apparently, when she was 16 years old, she worked at an orphanage doing some charity work, and one summer, a baby was found behind a dumpster, was taken to the orphanage, and she remembers pleading and begging with her father, Joe Simpson, to give her the baby as a birthday present.
I just threw up in my mouth.
Does she think babies are like sea monkeys? Is this something you get and then you raise in a bowl and something you keep under your desk like a pet?
I don't know, but I hope there's some government body somewhere that closes that down immediately.
Yeah. I mean, I'll give one to Madonna. I'll give one to Angelina Jolie. Anybody else. She can't adopt, no. Right? No. It's got to be a law. Joe Mantegna's got a new job. He's taken over Mandy Patinkin's spot on Criminal Minds. CBS has not yet confirmed the addition, but apparently the executive producer of the show confirmed it over the weekend on his blog. Harvey Keitel was said to be up for the role as well.
Hmm.
But they went with Mantegna instead, which is good. He's a real good actor.
Mm-hmm.
He is. He should be good on that show.
That Criminal Minds is one of those top 10 TV shows that no one I know has ever seen except my dad.
Yeah. Well, he loves the CBS.
It's on CBS, you know.
It's the old man's network.
That's right.
And it's only 6 days, 13 hours, 5 minutes, and 41 seconds till Hayden Panettiere becomes legal, everybody.
Yeah.
The good news is she's going to be on David Letterman on Monday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So let's see. 6 days. She should be legal.
She'll be legal.
She's
by
on
the
David Letterman show. Yeah, by that Monday. So
on her 18th birthday, that's what she's doing, is being on Letterman.
Oh, he's going to go off.
You think Dave will?
Dave's going to go off.
He's going to hit that.
You think he's going to close that?
He's going to pull her down right behind the desk. Do her right there in front of the audience.
I mean, I was throwing rocks at my neighbor, Robbie Joyner, on my 18th birthday. She's way ahead of me.
That was Kevin. Today's celebrity birthdays, Steve Martin, newlywed actor, comedian, director. He is 62 years old today. Carl Lumley, one of my favorite character actors. He was on Alias, played Marcus Dixon on that show. He's 56. I said Dixon. Halle Berry's 41 years old. Catherine Bell from JAG turns 39. Mila Kunis from That 70 Show. And Family Guy is 24 years old today. And I've been remiss all day long. I don't really care because he's on vacation, but we should mention that DJ Omar Khan celebrates his birthday.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Well, he's not here, so we don't have to be nice to him, but I thought I'd just throw it out there.
Daddy, why does Omar have a towel on his head?
Well, honey, because he's a terrorist. And he needs to be kept off our airplanes.
That's the short.
Omar. Wait, you're at the studio. Never mind.
DJ Omar Khan.
Not actually at the studio.
No.
Oh, just this once.
The one time. He should be here. He's not here. Damn, I had that present for him, too. I guess I'll have to take that back.
I will.
Khan! I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
By the way, how appropriate we're playing Tool before we get to our next guest. Congratulations to Chris Avila from Chatsworth, by the way. Just picked up tickets for the K-Rock LA Invasion. That's the fantastic show you've been hearing about with Smashing Pumpkins and Foo Fighters and Kid Rock and all the other bands. All the details at K-Rock.com. Tickets go on sale this weekend, and you can win them all week long here on the world-famous K-Rock.
All right, let's say good morning to Jared Spencer. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning, guys.
Jared, you a Los Angeles guy?
I'm sorry?
Are you from Los Angeles?
I am.
Okay. Congratulations. Jared's website is called sizeofaman.com. His product, by the way, is The Final Say. It's America's number one choice for penis measurement, ladies and gentlemen. Congratulations. I thought it was a brand new product, and you're already America's number one choice.
It's amazing how that works.
Now, sure. Jared, tell us how you came up with the idea.
It was based on a medical thing. Urologists in the urologist's office, there's a company that makes these little girth sizing things for incontinent products.
Lisa just fainted. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
It's not
I heard the word girth and I went crazy.
It was in no way a joke, but they were these little pieces of paper that had these half circles cut out in them so you could get your girth so you know what's, you know, size.
It's like ring size.
Yes.
What?
It's exactly like that. And it was by a medical thing for people who are incontinent, and I just, my dad's the one who actually saw it and thought that that was hilarious, and he took a stack from the urologist's office, and we started handing them out as, you know, party favors, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, and everyone just thought it was so funny.
You and your dad started handing out measurements for penises?
Yes, but these were just little, like, girth.
I understand.
And but you get it. It's creepy.
That led to, well,
I'm just saying, I understand, like, friends doing that, but you and your dad's a little nutty.
Well, my dad's just a funny man.
All right.
You know?
I guess so.
And now, it became such a popular thing that, you know, and I'm just, you know, this has just been such a topic of conversation for men and women and people for so many years. It just naturally progressed my mind to, you know what, there should be a product for this? Why isn't there?
A definitive way.
Because, I mean, how many times have you heard, how do you do this right? What's the proper way? No one knows exactly how and, you know.
No, Jared brings up an excellent point, and if we're being too vague here, he's basically talking about if a guy wants an accurate measurement of what he's carrying around down there, there's no accepted way that everybody acknowledges is the way to get a correct measurement. And that's why you've invented the final say. And this is just, it's basically a piece of equipment that makes it easier for you to make that measurement.
Right. It makes the idea of not knowing how impossible. It only works one way. You can't mess up and you can't cheat.
Are you running right now while you talk to us?
No.
Walking?
I do walk.
Weightlifting? What are you doing?
I
don't think men will like this because, you know, the usual method, which is guess and add 2 inches, that's taken away from them.
Two? Yeah, I don't know who. Now, you mortgaged your house for this product?
I did.
Wow.
So this is the one. You came across this one and you said, I'm going down with this one.
Yep. Something like that. I actually invented a lot of different things, but this was the one that I got such a good response from everyone I told that said, people will buy this. This is funny, but it's serious. It's a needed product. Millions of dollars are spent each year on penis enlargement. And,
right. That's true. But it's true.
And it's all based on self-measurement. If you look at any statistic or study that's online, they will all have disclaimers saying, you know, our statistics are not the most accurate because of self-measurement. And the idea.
That makes a lot of sense. Who are the guys who, anyone above junior high, who ever has occasion to need to measure himself, Jared?
Yeah, there's no real need to, but the bottom line is they do it. They do it, and they do it all the time. You do a Google search for penis measurement, you'll see thousands and thousands of sites dedicated to how to do it, what's average, and all those things. And it just blew my mind.
I bet a fairly large majority of men have pulled out a tape measure one time or another just to get an idea of how they quote-unquote measure.
All of them have done it or at least considered it.
And then you go and buy a bigger one because clearly that's not going to do it.
All right, let me ask you this. And if you're just joining us, Jared is the creator of The Final Say. And if you want to play along the Kevin Amin home game, you can go to sizeofaman.com. Before you came up with this idea, what was your preferred method of measuring? Were you into the candy cane, or did you like the from the hole to the pole, or what did you use, Jared?
I was a balls and all guy.
Balls and all, yeah, sure. That's very well respected. I was an around the horn man myself, but you're saying we can throw all of that out the window because now the final say exists.
If you want an accurate measurement, yes, those are still fun to do, you know, just for fun. But, yeah, you got to.
It says settling disputes. I don't know how many people have disputes over this. I mean, there's not a lot of people out there.
Let's just say you've been out of college too long then, Kevin.
Oh, there you go. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's something comes up late at night in the dorm room.
Dispute on college campuses across America. I
yes,
guarantee you that.
Good bar mitzvah gift.
Yes.
Boy becomes a man.
Yeah.
Oh, there
Let's
you go.
See.
Now, let me ask you this, Jared. We're almost out of time, but would you recommend one of your final says is appropriate for multiple use, or should each guy get his own?
Funny, I've been asked this before, and it was not a question I thought would be asked. Yes, buy your own. Don't be a cheap. Buy your own.
Sure. Because you got your house riding on it.
Yeah, people ask me, you know, are you going to make a disposable, you know, glove to put inside of it? And I'm like, well, what are you doing? To have like a sausage fest where you pass it around? We're not, you know, that's not
no,
the intention.
No.
Yeah, because that's my fear is that somebody's going to, you know, want me to go second. And no, I'm sorry. I'm not going
to
do it.
You're just going to have to buy your own. I'm sorry.
This looks to me like it only goes to 8 inches.
The actual tube itself is 9 inches. The measurements go to 8.5.
So I could tape 2 of these.
Yeah, exactly. And
all right.
And if you're longer than the 9 inches, then yes, you can afford to spend the money to buy 2.
All right.
Okay. Well, it'll be a little snug, but I'll try it anyway. All right. Well, listen, Jared, we have to get some sort of an update from you in 6 months. Months from now or something like this after you've done a fair amount of publicity and see how it's going and find out where you're going to be living then.
I will.
in which car. All right.
Right.
Thank you, Jared.
Let me give the website again. Again, the product is called The Final Say, and it would make a tremendous gift. You know, Father's Day just around the corner. Why not? Sizeofaman.com is the site. Our guest has been Jared Spencer. Thanks for joining us on...
Yep, can still smell the pepper spray from Saturday night. Rage Against the Machine, Pepper Spray the Bells. Well, hell of a time. 9:50 now on the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's time for...
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do, nephew?
We have a toll-free line. You can pick up a call right now at 1-800-520-1067. Get on the air and get a prize. And today it's 50 free songs on iTunes, Apple iTunes. There's always something new on iTunes. Keep listening for updates for all the new releases. We got some great calls. Thanks for holding on. Where do you want to start today?
Let's start with Joe in Phoenix. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, how's it going, Kevin B?
Good. What'd it do?
Oh, man, check this out. I went out to this concert last week, right? And I was with a bunch of my friends, and my buddy was being a total a-hole. And it was like 115 out here, so they're handing out super soakers to everyone that's there, whoever can get one. And I ended up having one, and he's over there being a jerk, so I decided to go off into the bathroom and, you know, fill one up.
Sure.
So I come back out to this guy, and he's over there, and he's rocking around, and he's being a jerk to people, you know, nailing people, and just being totally out of hand. So I sit there, and I start spraying him with my gun, and he turns around to see what's going on, and it's hitting him, and he's like, oh, it's so good. I'm like, yeah, you like that, huh? You like that? Is that good? And he's just loving it, like, it's so refreshing. So I keep spraying him in the face, and he starts opening up his mouth.
Oh,
we're just all laughing. We're rolling.
Man.
We're having a good time, man. And he's wonderful. He's still
Joe.
What's going on.
Joe, you're spraying people with urine, yet your friend's the jerk.
Well, man.
Yes.
You can see what he was doing. He was being a jerk.
Well, then he had the pee coming.
That's okay. Right, he did.
No one has the pee coming.
You did the right thing, Joe. Thank you. I don't think my friends here agree with me.
No, I don't think you did the right thing at all.
Let's keep that in mind for next time we're in Vegas.
It's a great idea,
and
Ralph.
When Kevin is, not a good lawyer. When he's been like that, we'll just dump cups of pee on him. We'll say, you had the pee coming. That's all.
Kevin said he thought it was funny, right, Ralph?
Do not think I'm not going to splash Kevin with pee at some point in the very near future.
Dude, how are you
going
to treat me like that?
Because you liked it. You thought it was funny.
Ruth in Glendale. Good morning.
Hey, guys.
Hi there.
You guys were talking about 50 Cent and Kanye yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a September 11th feud.
Some kind of a feud because their next CDs are coming out on the same day?
Exactly. Kanye isn't a rapper, so of course 50 Cent is going to want to quit if his album doesn't sell more. You guys don't get it.
What is Kanye?
Kanye's a producer. He's a guy that hangs out in videos.
Right, but he raps on his records, though.
Yeah, he performs on his CDs.
He performs.
It's the equivalent of Ryan Seacrest getting better ratings.
Yeah, well, that happens.
He's not a DJ.
So you're saying that they operate on completely different levels and that they should not be considered in competition with one another?
Exactly. He would take
offense to it.
You're
just wrong.
Oh.
You're just wrong, Ruth. I'm sorry. I love you, but you're wrong.
I love you guys, too. All right. Hi, okay. Lisa May.
Hi, Ruth.
I don't think I like Ruth's tone, quite frankly.
I know.
She bailed. She bailed quickly,
though. I
don't
know if she's wrong. If anyone would know, it'd be Ruth, wouldn't it?
I think she's got the pee coming.
Why? Because she's black? She has to know everything about the rap world?
Just,
wow, why don't you stereotype?
Ralph,
you guys don't even play it.
Ruth, you're in the pee group with me. Sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah, we're going to pee on you.
Get the pee coming.
You can expect that to come.
Yep.
Hey, let's talk to Chris in Seal Beach. We hear so much about how much Dodger fans hate the Giants, but we forget sometimes that Giant fans hate the Dodgers just so much. Chris, you're on the Kevin Beach on K-Rock. What to do, nephew?
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
Hey, Chris.
Okay, so I'm in San Francisco, driving on the 101, going 75. Not that fast.
Right.
I get pulled over. The cop tells me, he goes, you know what? He goes, I just want to tell you you're going a little bit too fast. I don't think I'll bust your balls, but can I get your license and registration?
Right.
So I forget that I have my Dodgers hat in the dashboard. Dumbass move. He comes back to the car. He looks at the Dodgers hat, and his face goes from like a whatever face to like sick in the stomach face. And he says, hold on. Goes back to his car, comes back, writes me a ticket, and says, how about them Dodgers? So pissed.
Oh, my God.
So I got a ticket. He gave me a ticket. He said, how about them Dodgers? Have a great day. And he walked back to his car and drove away.
That's really...
hurts.
I mean, that's really acceptable, isn't it?
That's a ticket for comedy.
Of course it is.
I mean,
of course
really,
it is.
You expect the guys here to do the same, I would think.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
I hope any highway patrol who pulls the guy over from NorCal... just breaks him off.
Shoot him.
All right. That's what
I don't think. Yeah. Pull him out of the car.
Nope. Don't need to go there.
Right in the ravine there on the side of the road. Pop, pop. Yeah.
That's it. What's wrong
good
with
night.
You?
Good night. How about them Giants now?
What's wrong with you?
I don't think we're suggesting
skull,
that either,
bitch.
Ralph.
Ventilated.
All right. We got some wonderful calls
up at the LA Invasion.
Yes,
that
are.
We don't have time for, I'm sorry to say. So we'll have to ask you to call back tomorrow if we did not get time for you today. We want to thank all of our guests on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, including Drew Carey, who is the host of Power of 10, a new episode tomorrow night at 8 o'clock on CBS. Also, thanks to Mike Rowe. How great was that dude, by the way?
The best.
Mike Rowe is the host of Dirty Jobs, of course. Another new episode tonight at 9 o'clock and every Tuesday on the Discovery Channel. And thanks to Jared Spencer. He is the creator of The Final Say. If you missed the interview, the guy mortgaged his house basically to invent a penis ruler. That's what he's all about. And his website is sizeofaman.com.
Oh, geez. Psycho Mike.
Tomorrow morning, an all-new show. Just don't encourage him, Ralph.
I can't help it. I look at you, I see he's right over your shoulder.
Just ignore him.
He's right in my field of vision. He's in my eye line, as they say in the business.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com tomorrow morning. Also, sexual harassment. Guys who get sexually harassed at work.
We are tired of being used like a piece of meat by women constantly here at K-Rock. I know that much for a fact. That Janelle, the receptionist,
just
keep her hands off my ass.
Not a day goes by.
Poor boy.
Sometimes she's eating a banana and putting on lotion, and she just grabs my ass as I go by.
That's just wrong.
And
I was asking for it.
Also, Trapped in the Closet, Chapter 14.
Oh, it's going to be a long
week.
The
next chapter. And, and also tickets for K-Rock's L.A. Invasion tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
And don't forget, we continue to make plans for my jury duty, which was announced this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. I am no longer to be known as Bean. I am now juror 10230-8715. That's how I would like to be called. So I'm very excited. I'll be reporting to King County Superior Court on September the 19th.
You got the P coming, too.
Yep. Yeah. Shouldn't he replace me?
Yeah.
I was against the P.
I'm going to give you Kevin's share of the P now.
I said no to the P.
He's the sole P.E.
You're going to the pink P dunk tank.
How dare you. Cat Corbett is coming up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop. K-Rock, including Muse's Starlight, also that new song from Kid Rock. It's called So Hot. We got Green Day, Modest Mouse, Nine Inch Nails, and more right after this on KRQ-FM, Pasadena, Los Angeles.